Welcome back to another edition of News from the Front, the podcast by gamers for gamers that features Flames of War, board games, war games, RPGs, SPGs, BFGs, HMGs, histories, books, movies, sci-fi, fantasy, miniatures, paint, and anything that requires a very tiny brush, but mostly Flames of War. We are broadcasting to you live from the McLaughlin Tower located in beautiful Richmond, Virginia. And now the host of News from the Front and founder of the WWPD International Network, the man who puts the man in German, Steve McLaughlin. German.
No, I like that. That's pretty good stuff, man. I've pretty much, this is the first time I've interacted with real humans since picking up Skyrim. Which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, locked in there. Yeah, yeah. I remember World of Tanks when that took over your soul for a little while.
Whenever I see people, I see like dialogue options coming up.
You know, like, pull your sword out and kill them.
Like, what does John have to sell?
All right.
What you guys been up to? Actually, so this is... this is episode 28, right?
28.
Yeah, almost lost count there. What you guys been up to?
Well, I'm excited that we were able to get the podcast in because we've been kind of counting down, checking in every day to make sure that...
We ain't done with it yet.
We're not.
You're right. I was telling John earlier, if she comes in middle of the cast, like, it's time, I'm just going to release it as is. We'll pick up where we left off next episode. That'd be a great end to a podcast. Right.
Well, we were trying to figure out before the episode starts. We said if Steve couldn't make it to the delivery room, John, I, and and Sean offered to go into the delivery room.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
To help her out.
I'll value my marriage, though.
Yeah, exactly. That would be it. That'd be it for all of us. We'd all be living
it'd
in
be
my
all
house.
Over, yeah.
You're right.
My wife would kick me out if she found out about that.
You're probably right. So I've been scrambling to get a bunch of stuff done, you know, just WWPD wise, painting wise. That's right. So
now is she going to be in the hospital on Thanksgiving?
They're hoping to release her on Thanksgiving Day. So
this is our Thanksgiving episode.
This is
that's right.
Oh yeah, we needed to like theme it somehow.
Gobble,
you know,
gobble, cranberry.
John's dressed up like an Indian. You guys just can't see it.
You just can't see it exactly.
The pilgrim hat that's really doing it for me right now.
And only the pilgrim hat. I had to put a tarp down.
Exactly.
I didn't know Indian had red leather thongs. What's up with that?
Hey, I'm the Indian from
the YMCA.
Yeah, there you go. All right, save that for after hours. Luke's doing the YMCA dance, which looks a little bit like the Panzer IV dance, if you guys remember that little gym. So yes, she's being induced on Tuesday, and it is Saturday today, for those of you listening 3 years from now. So we've got 3 days. 7 a.m. on Tuesday is the absolute latest.
Which she looks happy. From now,
that's mean that they do that, by the way, because they make you get there at like 5.
Yeah, I think we've got to be there at like 6:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All about the dollars now, brother. Yeah. Come on, man. You're trying to get them in and out.
Man, they made me run up in there. But then again, I was like all panicked that I would run into traffic, and I got there like 20 minutes early, I think.
Of course. And, we'll definitely.
Yeah, you can't sleep the night before that.
No.
That's not going to happen. You're going to play Skyrim all night.
Yeah, I'm going to just play Skyrim and be ready to go.
You know what?
She'll be like, it's time. I'm like, hold on. Can I just save?
They have TVs in the waiting room. Yeah. So you could just bring your console with you and make it happen. You could do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Skyrim's been the first game that has really held my attention for longer than a few hours. I have gamer ADD. You know, I play a game, then I'm kind of like, yep, done.
You have everything ADD. Well, look at all these armies you got on your bookshelf.
No. This isn't ADD. This is follow-through here.
That's obsession.
That's obsession.
Well, tell us. Well, you know what? Why don't you tell us about Skyrim? Because that seemed to all be getting good reviews and everything that I've seen
really
about it.
Yeah, it really does. And a lot of my favorite bloggers that I follow, like Anatoly, shout out to our boy Anatoly, have been completely taken over by Skyrim. So I guess you guys haven't played any of the previous games by Bethesda, right? Mm-mm. So they're basically these massive open-ended worlds, and it's a lot like what you would expect from a massively multiplayer game, except it's just you.
It's massively single-player.
It's massively single-player, yeah, which is a selling point for me, because I don't want to get on and have the immersion broken by someone named, like, you know, Han Solo 6969 or something.
Hey, that's my name.
The 12th Aragorn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, they craft this massive world, and I think the last one they put out was called Oblivion, and I think they said it was the equivalent of in-game 10 square miles if you walk at a certain pace. It's 10 square miles around. So, I mean, the game is just huge. And basically, the world is such that if you can see something way off in the distance, some mountain off in the distance, you can get there. It just takes you an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know? So the story is set in this, you know, sort of their proprietary fantasy thing, generic world, and it's a pretty cool setting, and there's a rich history behind it, and they in all the games they sort of touch on it, and you really feel like they've done a lot to set up and differentiate this world. Like, it's not just a straight up ripoff of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and you showed me how like each of the different areas has like its own like cultural thing.
Yep,
which I think is cool because I mean we just looked at it a little bit before we got on here.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things that's annoying in some of the old, you know, other older games where it's like, oh well, this is the they have different colored, you know, shoes.
Exactly,
that's it. You know, and this was completely
it's
different.
It's not very generic. And now there's basically three modern era games set like this, and one they kind of all take place in a different section of the world.
Right.
So the first one was called Morrowind, the first one that I consider like really good, and that was cool because it was the first fantasy game that wasn't generic at all. Mm-hmm. You're on like this ashy desert island, and dark elves are the main race, and all this cool stuff. So Skyrim takes place in what's essentially like a Nordic. Right. And they're called the Nords, you know, figure. But it's you know, Alpine and the North. The Noid? Yeah. Was that Little Caesars?
Domino's. You didn't get
Domino's, that's right. Yeah, so it's a world inhabited by Noids.
That's my contribution to the podcast, everyone. Yeah. I came up with a joke for the Noid. Thank you.
I'm a level 3 delivery
man.
Everyone.
Get a plus 4 pizza bag.
Exactly.
Plus pizza 4 bag of holy.
Pizza bag of warming.
My garlic breadstick of destruction. Plus 7.
So we've gone completely off the...
All right. I quit. I'm out.
So they're the Nords. The Nords.
So, yeah. So it's a really cool, just, you know, frigid North kind of setting. And the setting's beautiful because the weather effects are phenomenal. You'll be climbing up a mountain. It'll suddenly start snowing. And the snow actually sticks to the ground and stuff. They've really done some cool things with the world generator.
I saw where you had, like, blood on your face during a fight. And you got to, like, see through
blood
it.
Blood sprays the
cool.
camera and your sword
What's
gets covered in blood.
What's absorbing the soul of the dragon? Because I caught a few months
okay. So the main storyline... And first of all, you can go any way you want. And you can set up any kind of character you want, you know. There's no such thing as classes in this game. You define what you become based on what you do. So the main storyline, which I'm not too far along in the main quest, you are dragonborn. You know, you're this prophesied person born with the soul of a dragon, and for some reason the dragons are all coming back, and they haven't been there in millennia or something. And so you fight these dragons, and when you kill them, you absorb their soul, and that gives you
power,
a little bit of power.
Yeah.
And so you have this thing called the voice, and that's basically you have, you know, they say the dragons, when they're breathing fire or something, they're speaking some ancient language.
Is that from Mortal Kombat? Your soul is mine.
Exactly. So you can learn all these voice powers, these shout powers that do cool things. Like, you can get fire breath, or you can get, like, something that sends people flying back. That's my favorite one. I'll be fighting on the side of a mountain, just send someone flying, like, 100 feet off. And so,
force pushing them.
Exactly. It's even called, I think it's called unrelenting push or unrelenting force or something. But you learn these dragon words that make each individual power more powerful, and they're these ancient language words. And it's called like force, fly, push or something. Those are the three words my character knows. I was like, force push. Huh? Okay,
That sounds somewhere. Familiar.
But
yeah, that's a ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Dune thing too, with the whole voice thing.
Yeah, it is. So I mean, the story. I won't say it's generic, but it is a fantasy story. But the cool thing is, there's really no clear good or bad guys, and there's a lot of political maneuvers going on. So, for example, this place Skyrim is set in this kind of remote area of the Empire. So the Empire owns it, but there's a rebellion being made by the local Nords, and they're battling the Empire. And you come to find out that there's high elves there, and they're probably manipulating it and playing the two sides against each other. And there's really no good or bad guys. I mean, at first they kind of make the Empire out to be the bad guys, but then you find out the Rebellion's really racist, and they're like, they kill all the elves and dark elves who haven't done anything. And so you don't really even know who to join with. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. So you can just join up with whoever and go down any path you want. And it's really interesting.
And the best thing is your companion's name is?
Lydia, which is weird. Yeah.
And that was randomly selected?
No, that's her name. She's an NPC in the game, you know.
I mean, but you didn't name her.
No, I didn't name her. And so I'll be reading, you know, some form or something, and people are like, you know, Lydia's really good to have in a fight when you give her a bow. And I'm just like,
damn sure is.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're talking about the game.
Yeah, exactly. So there's definitely times and I'll be screaming at the TV like, come on, Lydia, you got to catch up. And she'll be like, are you talking to me?
Now, did you post a link to Skyrim on WWPD.net?
I probably have not yet. So I will... you know, maybe post a link to some of the videos. And I do suggest you guys check out Anatoly's review of it. He just posted today on his site. It's anatolysgameroom.blogspot.com.
Are there a bunch of tutorial YouTube videos out there for
there
this
are
game?
A bunch of tutorials out there. There's actually a really cool live-action trailer. I suggest you guys check that out. Cool.
It's saw that. It's when you guys
you see the town getting attacked. And
yeah, it's really good. My only thing is, and this is the only thing that I have reservations about the game,
mm-hmm.
is number one, I suck in first-person kind of games like that. And I never
You're not twitchy.
I'm not. And I never was really good at EverQuest or World of Warcraft. I mean, I was okay, but I wasn't great. You were a madman, I know.
A madman. World of Warcraft. Fury Warrior.
But regardless, I like games where I can get, and we talked about this when mm-hmm. World of Tanks came out, I like games where I can get four or five of my friends in a game together. And that would probably be the only thing that would hold me back, because I can't put anyone else with me.
Right. You need Space Marine, my friend, because there's co-op mode for Space Marine.
I plan to grab
that. You can get in and out of it, because you can get into Space Marine, you do co-op mode, you get your friends involved, and it's three or four of you, and it's over in an hour and a half.
Right.
You know, something like that.
So I actually, I got several suggestions from some friends saying, now's the time when you take these 2 weeks off, you're going to be up all night, grab a video game. Because it's better than painting, because you can just pause it, and if you're needed, you're ready in a second. But get a video game, and get one that'll last you. You're right. Get one that'll last you, where your friends aren't counting on you. So I figured Skyrim was pretty, I'm 30 hours into the game, and I'm nowhere near even halfway
through. You played all night
last
night, didn't you?
No, I played pretty late, though.
Yeah, I can
tell. Then I was painting.
You can tell by his eyes. Look at him. He's tired.
I hit a point, too. I was like, all right, I'm going to go paint some now. And then I painted for 2 hours, so yeah, I was up pretty late last night. But bottom line, the game is phenomenal if you guys are into role-playing games of any type. And it is first-person, and it can be twitchy, like if you use a bow.
Right.
But I'm bad at that, too, so I don't even use it. As you guys saw, I fought a dragon without
a
bow.
He's just standing there waiting for it.
Yeah, so if you use, magic... Yeah, exactly. If you use magic, it's a lot easier. And the sword, you just swing it. And as long as they're in your field of view in the right range, you hit them. So it's... Which actually kind of sucks, because sometimes you wind up hitting your companion, Lydia.
Oops.
Believe me, you do not want to hit Lydia with a sword, in or out of game. But that's enough about
that. That's what Steve's been up to, but you did some painting recently too, right?
I have, man. I've been a madman lately. I got 22 game models cruisers. Ooh. And I'm not quite done with them, but I'm just about. They're the A9 models, because I kind of wanted to go with the crappiest. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, those little twin
cheating
deck machine guns.
Yeah.
They just look awesome too. So I got 22 of those guys, and I tried to do the contour scheme, and there's no way I was going to get those smooth.
I don't know how the
hell
anybody.
There's
does
no way
that.
They did. I mean, were they out there in the desert with?
Yeah,
the
they probably did
tape?
It by hand.
Probably
you know,
not.
So,
right.
But so mine look okay. They look acceptable to me. You know, I hit that point. I was like, yeah, good enough. And from a distance, they look fine.
I was trying to figure out a way to do it, but
I saw where people were using tape.
I could do that blue
models.
That blue painter's tape.
It was that blue tack too. There's also it's like a putty, almost like silly
there's
putty.
That, there's also like the tape that they use that like Chip Foose uses to do like lines on. Like hot rod cars.
Ah, yeah.
And that tape is very bendable. You can do it in basically any kind of shape without it creasing and bunching up. I would assume you could use that stuff because that would fit anything.
Yeah, but,
who cares?
For $4 tanks from game models, it's like, I'm not going to do that. I will say, though, we're kind of hit and miss on game models. Some stuff is good, some stuff's not. These are great, I think. I mean, they're clearly not quite as good as a Battlefront model, but when you have 22 of them, I'm pretty happy with
my decision. Well, I think what you hit the nail on the head, too, and that really is once you put the detail on them, you blackline them, you do all that other stuff, you use that camouflage pattern that you did. You have to be right up on them.
Yep.
I mean, I had to get almost put it up to my eyeball to see, some irregularities in the model. So
So pretty happy with that. And then we also got some new stuff for review, which you guys will see next episode. And one of those was the Stutzpunked boxes. Is that how you pronounce that? Stutzpunked?
I don't even know. I'd have to see it written.
Yeah.
I wish I had my computer with me.
There you go.
Break out that old
is
Google.
Is it Punkt? Is that the last name? Punkt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Punkt.
Okay.
But
there you go.
Didn't Ashton Kutcher do a...
I believe so. His show, Punkt.
That's a German version.
Stutz Punkt.
That's right.
What have you been doing, John?
I've been painting a lot of stuff. I claimed that I was moving back to Brits and promptly didn't. Well, for some reason is... I got I had some infantry guns to paint for the tournament that's coming up December 3rd.
And you can find out about that tournament on our very own Tournament Finder.
That's right.
Sorry to cut you off.
That's right. You guys can find all about that there. But yeah, I had to paint some infantry guns for that because if you guys notice in the battle report that Eric won, I had two like random guns out there that I was using for the infantry guns. So I painted up some of those, and there's a forthcoming post on that. It's a very short post, but it'll show you guys that. And then you...
I got your trees, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I don't have them with me, but I
You picked up those two Wesps nothing. It's like Historicon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're like $5.
Yeah.
So I painted those two up because, yeah, they're kind of cool, and I want to play the crazy Hermann Göring list where that's like a combat platoon.
Yeah.
And then, so I went ahead and got two more. And so I went ahead and painted those guys up too, and there'll be a post on those as well.
Cool.
Nice. So you played a game with Eric, right? And we posted the AAR, but you want to talk a little bit about that? What you found out about your...
Remember that movie, The Longest Day?
Yeah. No joke. This is like the Bataan Death March of games. So
I got there right when they started.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. It was insane. So we were to put together our list for the Game Vault tournament, the I-95 tournament. Remind me to talk a little bit about going up there too later. But anyway, we wanted to test our list out. So it's 1500 point mid-war list. And I'm playing Grenz. And so I put together a list that had two Grenadier platoons, a Pioneer platoon, the infantry guns, four Panzer, three M's, Nebs, and airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put together Gurkhas with eight 25 pounders, three Matildas, and three platoons of Gurkhas and six mortars.
God damn, they're nasty. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, and so they're fearless trained, and they get all this other cool... They lose Bulldog.
They're crazy. Reroll misses. Right.
Is it that they reroll misses and assaults?
Reroll misses and assaults. They don't get British Bulldog, but they get the War Cry, which is the first successful motivation attempt.
You got to reroll it. Yeah, I remember that.
So anyway, so we played. And it just took forever. I mean, you guys will see the AAR. It just took forever and ever and ever. I mean... I'm not the fastest guy in the world, you know, moving my stuff, but I was on D. But Eric's slower than me. Sorry, Eric. But he's even slower than me. And he'd never played the Gurkhas. I never played against him. We had to look up these rules and da-da-da. Right.
I looked up three rules, four rules,
in 10 minutes. Yeah.
And longest game I've ever played was definitely with Turner.
Yeah, so it was just horrible. But
my games only last an hour long. They just feel like they lasted for 6 hours. Nah, I know you're listening, Eric.
it was just looking at rules and stuff. And we had artillery and and that takes a little bit of time.
Night fight
and all this other garbage. It's a firing range and all this other junk. So it looked like I was going to really pound him and crush him. But we just kept playing and playing and playing.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally ended up winning. By the end, I just didn't really care.
I know what you mean. Just kind of give up at some point.
Yeah, he told me he was just trying to get the game over.
Yeah, I'm like, just move, do something. I don't care. Whatever. Right. And it was good test out for our list. I'm not changing anything. I mean, I love my little list. I think it's going to be nasty.
Well, the fact of the matter is, no matter how you look at it, if it was a tournament game, your game was 5 hours. Yeah, you won.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't take the objective, you lose. And you know what? And I'll tell you, that's the thing I like about playing with a time limit on a game.
Yeah, I agree.
Is because that forces people to move.
Yeah.
And I think the time limit just has to be balanced, right? And I think 1,500 points, 2.5 hours is perfect.
Enough. Yeah.
If you can't get done in that point... Yeah. You failed as the attacker.
Exactly. Yeah. But, it was fun. I mean, I think Eric would be better off playing an armored list. I mean, and I'm throwing a stone at him. I mean, I'm slow, so I'm better off when I'm playing more armor or I'm defensive. But, I had barbed wire. I had all this crazy stuff. I mean,
the problem is you're playing frontline domination. And I'll tell you right now, it sucks to play anything but infantry or a lot of infantry, mixed in there. You can't. Right. I mean, I played the BAR in that, and that was back in Historicon, and that was rough on me because I didn't start with a damn thing on the board.
Yeah, everything comes on. And to that point, if I may, I played two test games for this upcoming tournament. One was with my list versus Sean running a test list, and then I ran Sean's list against your boy Ted, Ted could test his list. Yeah. So Sean and I played frontline domination, and at 1,500 points, it's tough because you're just spread so damn thin that, really just a couple of dice rolls is what ultimately really decided it. And I will say, though, the Italian list held their own, man. Those little Elephantinos.
They're going to be great for frontline domination.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty good because I do get to start with almost everything on and holding positions. And I'll tell you, when we were setting up, I realized, you remember how you deploy in frontline domination? Basically, once you put a platoon, he can't then be within 10 inches.
Right.
So I deployed first, and I just put one of those big Bersaglieri units or Bersieri, just holding the middle,
that's
spread
right.
out, and then I hold You know, I think I might have even held enough to win from the get go, and then Sean had to come at me, bro.
Yeah.
So, and then with Ted, we played Dust Up, and I like that mission. That's a pretty fun mission. And I ran a British list, and he ran his
Grenadier,
which is not similar,
no, Panzergrenz. Panzergrenz,
which is not a very infantry friendly.
It's really not. The armor definitely decided, and I felt bad here, but my my armored cars basically found a gap in his infantry where he didn't have 2 inches open,
right?
And he basically had a line of his infantry around his deployment zone in the front, and his Nebelwerfers in the back, and he got to fire on them and never dug them in.
Mm-hmm.
And hard packed desert, you know, armored cars move 16 inches, so I slipped right through, machine gunned the crap out of his Nebelwerfers and wiped them out. Then I had guys behind him. And then all my tanks arrived right in assault range.
That's a good way to learn a lesson on that one.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. I'll tell you what, though. He came pretty damn close. His damn Panzer III's. Panzer III Ls really chewed up a bunch of
grenades.
Those
things are no joke. Rate of fire 3.
They are awesome. But anyways, enough about us. Luke, what have you been up to,
well,
man?
Well, I want to say that I successfully simple greened 19...
Hey, they didn't melt. They're not
no, they didn't. Well, I'll tell you though, it didn't come up as fast. I don't know whether I was using the wrong paint or something, but I still have. I mean, they sat in there for 3-4 days, and they still had paint on them. Yeah,
yeah, but it'll have paint on. Did you pull them out and take a toothbrush?
Yes, that's exactly what I did, and rinsed them off, and I still
but
had
they
paint
had just
on
a little bit of black paint left.
No,
the
they
sides.
Had green paint still left on.
Oh, really?
Well, I've
yeah,
never
so,
had that happen.
I've well,
I had the black left though.
Yeah, I just mainly in the corners and the little nooks and stuff like that. So I put it back. I rinsed them off. I scrubbed them down, rinsed them off, put them back in there. So hopefully we get that.
Right.
I just got a paratrooper. Yeah, I just got a paratrooper company.
Yes, awesome.
in a trade for some bocage, which I'm shipping out Monday.
Sweet.
And so that's going to be a thing. John's going to have to come over sometime next week and help me sort through that and piece it all together and figure out, you know.
I ain't painting it for you.
I know.
And you played a game with your kids too, right?
I did. And that's a battle report upcoming. And actually, we tried to figure out a name for it, but let me just kind of give you guys a preview of this.
Tell them the end first. Tell them how it ended first. That's the best.
It ended. First of all, I let him use my Flames of War smoke. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the game, I bought him this castle. Well, actually, I traded for a castle at Fallen. And at the end of the game, there's a Land Raider or something, or a Rhino tank, on top of the turret. Up there. Now, you gotta understand, I walked away, and my son is telling me all the story, and there's, like, the black Flames of War smoke everywhere, and but basically, we had everything on that table Space Marines, had Tau, we had Flames of War, we had an armored rifle company, we had a Stuart company on the table.
Like armed ants or something?
We had Green Army men. We had Green Army. We had Lego guys with lightsabers.
Hey,
then, and, you know, we had everything. And then my son started telling me the special rules. They're like, Dad, Anakin Skywalker has a force push. And Anakin Skywalker has a lightsaber. So the laser beams, da-da-da-da. And I was like, just roll a die. 4 up. You can do that. Okay.
Yes. But I bet they loved it, man.
They had a great time. We rolled more dice in that game than everyone rolled the entire time at the Masters.
Hmm.
I mean, we rolled more dice that day. I mean, they were picking up handful. At one point, I was just pick up as many dice as you can hold, son. Just roll them in that tray.
Nice.
And, well, it's good for them because it number one, it helps them. It gives them a little discipline for measuring. Mm-hmm. And my son, Jack, you know, he will just, he's six. He'll pick it up and just move it. But, you know, we're working on that. So what
I
would have
called the tournament organizer over.
Yeah, exactly. I gave them each metal rulers that had, you know, everything out and showed them where 6 inches was, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, they got that, and you know, you can move this far and all that. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Yeah.
I think John measures in multiples of 3 inches.
Exactly. So, but three, yeah, it was a good three, time. The kids three, had a blast. Three. We took some pictures, and we'll get those. That'll be a post coming up in the not too distant future. But the kids definitely had a good time, and. What's amazing is that we're really working on keeping our stuff neat and putting it away. And they've been struggling to keep their room clean. If you're a dad, you know what I'm talking about. But
I'll be right back. John's asking me for a pencil.
So they
crayon.
A crayon?
Yeah, it suits me better.
He'd rather just cut his finger and just draw it out.
And I always joke about people who call crayons crowns.
Ferns.
Hey, pass me a crown. Like, what did you say?
So, but yeah, awesome. We had a great time. It was a really good time. We got to try out that castle. They think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
My kids are good motivation. They want me to make, I actually have a project with my kids coming up, which is over Thanksgiving. We're going to be making trees. You know, nice. And I actually get out there. Yo, you might have to come over, and you might want to get a piece of that. So,
Luke will be selling trees in a minute.
Yeah, we're putting them out there and getting all that done. So they're having a good time. And obviously I'm working on some more bocage and some more terrain and things like that. But cool. Mainly, like I said, I want to get these half tracks ready to roll.
So, let me ask you this. Did you plug that battle into Bat Repper?
I have not done it yet.
But make sure you get the newest version, which is 0.3. Mm-hmm. I made some tweaks. I'm going to make a few more tweaks before, but I've seen some people start using it in the wild, so that's kind of cool. Yeah, if you guys want to download that, it's kind of a cool way to format your battle reports easily. Yeah. Check it out on our forum. But
My closest thing to a game other than with my kids, which I must have smoked a carton of cigarettes while that happened, because I had to keep walking outside, and I just didn't. I was like, whatever. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
that's great.
Whatever. Son, I'm going to have to rule on this one, though. There is no orbital bombardment. Because I'm not joking. Nice. They were like, orbital bombardment, Daddy, because we have a Star Cruiser.
The only way to be sure. Take off. Yeah, take
I would have had to let them. I would have had to let them do that, I think.
Yeah, I was like, we're going to have to. Well, they, you know, they found an old Warhammer template, which was like a son, that's going to be a real quick way to end it. But the Tau kid couldn't hold the castle. There were... My son did inform me that there were four bad guys left at the end, and they were captured.
Nice. So, captured and put on trial or something.
They were waterboarded after that. But I didn't want to talk about that part of the lesson that I was teaching my kids at that point.
Oh, my God.
So we were waterboarding the Lego pieces.
Nice. You know? That's awesome.
But, yeah, it was a good time. So, you know, as we go into the holiday season, we're definitely looking to keep things moving, as we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You put together the Bat Repper, so
that's right.
We've got a lot of content coming up. John, you did a video, too, on assaults.
I did a video. We talked about it in episode 26, I think, a little bit about assault, and it's hard to keep track of that, you know, with no visual. So I went ahead and did a video for that.
Sure. I haven't seen even the raw footage yet. What did you do exactly?
Yeah, I basically just put together a very simple platoon-on-platoon example of how... sometimes when you're assaulted, especially by a really good assault platoon, sometimes it's best to pull out.
Back, sure.
Right, pull
that
back.
That doesn't work all that well.
Pull back, then shoot the guys instead of just going ahead and doing the effort move. And, well, I'm already in assault, let me go ahead and continue this.
Right.
So I wanted to illustrate that a little bit, and I just got an example with Grenadiers versus Brit Paratroopers.
Sure, yeah.
And so it's basically it. And
yep.
It's only like, I don't know, I think it's like 5 minutes or something. It's nothing big, but it's hopefully
we'll put some stuff together. John and I talked about doing some different video stuff coming up in the future. So, you know, once we use those videos to get the berth for Steve.
Yeah. That'll work. That'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some other videos left too. I still have 3 posts worth of videos from Fallen.
We took a lot of damn
video with Fallen. You guys did. I've been working through it though. It's pretty much all mixed down now. Yeah. I just don't want to flood them all at the same time. So, what do we got coming up? We got an interview with Joe Crone coming up, and an interview with Kai and Madison from Falcon Figures. And then after that, I've got a set of stuff from the Painting University. Right?
Yeah, that's from Heather Blush. Yeah.
And we've got Greg, and he gave us a bunch of pictures that
Greg's
will be included on that post.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
And then after that, we have the live show you guys did. That'll be the last one posted, probably, you know, about 3 weeks, or 4 weeks.
Short. Yeah.
And, so I went ahead and bought the software I needed, so we're good to go.
Boing.
Yep.
That's right.
And we got more videos coming. I'm going to do a video review of the Stutzpunk box stuff.
I think this is the first time in a while I don't have anything queued up for review, do I?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Got a couple posts queued up.
What you should do is probably look to review a American Paratrooper Company.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Review it. Yeah. Now, what I need to do is get off this German kick, and I got to get some of the box sets I've got to paint. I mean, like everybody, my painting queue is a box full of.
Yeah.
I think right now there's like 6 different box sets I've got to paint. 7.
Yeah.
7 different box sets. And so I've got to pick some of the British stuff and get cracking. Because, you know, I don't have like Paratrooper 17 pounders. I have regular 17 pounders, so I'm going to paint some Paratrooper 17 pounders.
Well, I need to. I'm going to need to borrow some figures for the tournament because I'm going to play British.
Ooh,
you can have mine if you want.
Yeah, I might need some Matildas. You got some Matildas?
I got Matildas. You want to just borrow my stuff because I got desert stuff.
Yeah, take
it. Now I will say, touch base with me a day or two before, make sure I'm going. I am planning on going, and we've cleared it. And Lydia's mom's probably going to be here and everything.
But anything happens,
you never
know.
So. Mm-hmm. So just make sure you let me know exactly what you need, and I will.
Yeah,
or the baby.
I've just been fooling with my list, and I honestly,
Sure.
I'm thinking Churchill's.
I knew you would.
I'm really. I hate to say it.
They're great in mid-war.
They really are. I mean,
they're just so expensive, though.
410 points. Yeah, and then plus 275. And I really don't want to have just one mobile unit.
Yeah.
So what I would love to be able to do is do a unit of Churchill's and a unit of Matilda's.
Ooh, yeah. Now, keep in mind, the only way you're going to get Churchill's and veteran infantry is if you take that motor infantry unit, and it's got crazy structure. Indians. Okay. So they're, yeah, okay. That makes
sense.
They're
fearless trained.
Makes sense.
So yeah, I'm going to run Indians.
Yeah.
They're ridiculously good.
I want to paint some Indians eventually, I think.
Well, I just like them because, I mean, I'm really looking at my play style for these guys, and I'm thinking about fearless trained infantry that assaults like a madman. You know,
might as well go for it.
They're pretty versatile when it comes to doing different things. The only thing I'm not used to playing is smaller units like that.
So. Sure. How many stands they got? Like 7?
9.
They're regular British size.
Man, 8, 9.
So they're 9. Yeah,
you're fine.
Because I got the light mortar, the ATR, and 7 stands. Yeah, don't discount the Matilda. I mean, they're top armor too for real cheap. Mm-hmm. And then,
but they're unreliable.
Yeah, they are unreliable. Yeah. So, you know.
And their gun's only a 7.
It is only 7, but for the price, you can basically get them and 6-pounders and then have points to spare over the 3 Churchills.
Yeah.
Churchills are good, but they're still
They look the same
tanks.
To my JU-87s.
Yeah, and the same well, as Panzerknackers, except they got wide tracks, which makes them pretty nice.
Yeah, that means a lot. Now, let me ask you a question on that list since I'm diverging off topic.
Hey, why not?
it's an Indian list. The whole list is fearless trained, right?
Yeah.
But the tanks...
Yeah.
Are confident trained.
Tanks
right?
confident trained, yeah. and likely if you buy artillery, and I don't remember for sure, but it probably comes from 8th Army, so it's probably confident or confident vet, maybe. Yeah. I don't remember. I'd have to look at it again, but unless it has the Indian logo, it's you know something different.
Yeah, I just don't know what to do as far as putting it all together, and I've probably run through Army Builder, not Army Builder,
Easy Army,
like 20 times.
He's getting on the Hellfire and back stuff. He put up the Italians. Ugh. I put together a list. I think Sean and I are going to get a game in tomorrow. We're going to try that Across the Wire mission. Have you guys seen that?
That's the one where you both have 4 locations?
I've read through the mission about 10 times, and it's hard to wrap your head around because I put my fortifications in your deployment zone.
Right.
You put yours in mine. Then we deploy, and then I pick up a platoon and move it, and you do it. I think it'll be cool, though, because I made up 2 fortified companies to do it. But
I rep it.
Dude, please. Please.
That'd be awesome.
No, I will.
All right.
Been making some tweaks to Bat Repper, so good way to try it out.
Yeah, we had a
we had a breakdown. I think we both had the post open, too, and I think changes I made weren't reflected or something.
So I was in there editing my upcoming West post, and I'm like, do-do-do-do-do, and you know, I'm still ham-handed. And I look, and then suddenly there's a post out there with one of Steve's battle reports. And I'm like, oh, no!
I accidentally published it.
I'm like, I looked at it and it looked all weird. I was like, well, maybe Steve published it. I looked at it and it looked all weird, all Frankenstein. So I was like, unpublished.
You guys got to coordinate.
Yeah, well, then Steve was like, well, there's a bug and that's why it looked weird. And we were just,
We fixed it up.
It was funny. If you were
It was a good, like, 3 Stooges, like, well, let me go poking each other in the eye and stuff.
Benny Hill music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to the tournament on December 3rd.
Me too. I really am too.
And in addition to
Eric and his houses.
Eric and his houses.
Oh, yeah.
He committed. He said that he's going to have some. So now you got to have him, Eric Lauterbach.
Because you got to get Arnhem done. Because
I got to get on it.
The excuses are over.
I get on it.
We got to do the big game up there.
Yeah, I got to get on it. So
that'll be a lot of fun.
So, yeah, hopefully he's going to have I checked with him the other day, and he said he was had some in progress. So hopefully he'll be ready to roll.
Nice. Very cool. Well, to change the subject just real quickly, I do have a couple of corrections from previous episodes. Some people...
excuse me. We're never wrong.
Oh, you're right. All right, scratch the corrections.
Yeah.
Whatever we say
takes
precedence.
We would like to modify what we said earlier.
I don't care about your Matt Liff and your Phil.
Exactly. So this is Morrigan lessons from WWPD.
Right. Morrigan, we screwed up.
There you go. So, yeah. So we are human. Feel free to point out anything we get wrong, and we will try to address it. But the big correction here is we were talking about transports from episode 26, and we said basically that you can get out of your transports on an Avanti or a Hussar move, and that's not true. You can only do it on a Stormtrooper move because it explicitly says so.
Right.
So
cheaters.
Dismounting
says wrong!
Exactly. Wrong! Dismounting an Avanti?
What
say you? Go!
Exactly. So because the Stormtrooper rule specifically allows it, the other rules don't. Right. And you can only send transports teams to the rear in your own movement step, not on the Stormtrooper step or the
Avada cheaters!
Step. I know.
Total cheaters.
And the second correction, which I just completely looked over because I had the book open, the Vichy French do indeed get access to the Desert Fort.
And, yeah, they should.
Yeah, they absolutely should, and yeah. I was a little surprised too. But they do, and I was wrong, and I said they didn't when you asked me on the spot, and I panicked, and then I cried myself asleep later.
That's right.
So I think that's about it for the corrections. I mean, that's not too bad, right? Two things wrong in like 40 hours. We're pretty much perfect.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, we're near perfect anyways.
What else do we have coming up for the rest of the show?
Oh, man, we got all kinds of cool stuff coming up. We got a couple dispatches from the front to read. We were talking about Know Your Frenemy with the Soviet T-34s. And, John, what's that big change we're going to talk about coming up?
Hen and Chicks?
Hen and Chicks changes. My God.
Ooh.
You don't like it? Oh, we'll get there. We'll talk about it. We got a couple of little little rules tips that we've identified. What else we got coming up here? We got a unit spotlight. We're going to talk a little bit about the Italian Bersieri now that I've got them on the board a couple times. Yeah. What else we got, Luke? You keeping up here?
Well, we've got the noob zone. And
yes.
I want to share this story.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Same page.
Yeah, Steve and I are, believe it or not, guys, we actually think about what we're going to put into the show. I
mean, that doesn't seem like that. A tiny bit, yeah.
But, you know, we got emails going back and forth from putting things together. So Steve sends out an email, and I've got this slew of emails, and I just read the top one that said,
I read
the first one, which was actually, I started with that one, and it said, show note ideas, you know, this and that. And I sent a thing out and said, hey, how about for our noob zone, we cover individual nationality rules? Well, then two emails up, if Steve's saying, hey, here's some revised show notes, and I got this idea to run Noob Zone nationality rules.
That's right.
And it happened to me. I was like, let's start with the Germans. Yeah, so today, for our Noob Zone, without joke, we're going over German national rules. We're talking about comp groups, stormtrooper, mission taxes, mounted assault, and why this is important to you so people don't cheat you.
Mm-hmm. And then we got something coming up for After Hours here. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to talk about yet here. You know, I had a couple ideas, but sounds like John's primed and ready to go. So, yeah, what you got in mind?
Well, I think we're going to talk about kind of your own responsibilities at a tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
And the theme for that is going to be we're going to talk about stuff like knowledge of your own lists and stuff.
Knowledge of your enemy's list, which is
knowledge of your enemy's list.
Yeah, you know, just stuff. I thought it'd be kind of interesting to talk kind of about where your responsibility ends.
Yeah.
You know, at what point are you playing the game for someone? What do you have to divulge? I think it'll be an interesting discussion. And besides that, just kind of the usual haberdashery that we talk about in
After Hours.
We're going to try to go the full hour today in After Hours?
I was going
to
tell you.
I'm going to mail everybody a quarter.
I was going to tell you. That's not it. I'm giving out your phone number. You got to talk to them for 15 minutes every episode.
Yeah, I'll talk to you personally on Skype.
Yeah. That's right. Go to TeamSpeak. We'll get you all knocked out at one time.
Right.
But I'm going to go ahead and throw it in there. If you don't know, After Hours is just a little bit of extra time that we put together after the main show.
There you
and
go.
It is, the way we like to look at it is you get 2 hours of content, usually roughly 2 hours of content for free in the show. But you can get, 2 hours, 45 minutes, and 3 seconds for a dollar. So After Hours usually runs between 30 minutes and an hour. And anybody who knows what I'm talking about right now as we make jokes.
Yeah. We're making jokes.
That's what you get for not reading the form if you don't know.
Yeah. So we're just joking with you. No worries.
It does range. It does range in time.
Yeah.
And and because After Hours is really just us kind of shooting the breeze.
When we're done.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a couple hot topics that we've got in there, but we don't have any structured format for it. We don't have bullet points for it. Today, guys, and this is no joke, it says one thing for After Hours, and it says individual player responsibility in tournament and conceding games. That's it. That's what it says.
That's it.
There's no other big
book. Versus 2 pages of notes for the regular show.
Gotcha. So, but I think, is that it for Act 1?
I think we pretty much filled up Act 1, yeah. It's about that time. So, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and read this first dispatch from the front here.
Oh, yeah. Dispatches from the front.
Dispatches from the front? Well,
where can we find out more about them?
So, basically, we sell these as an auction on eBay. They start at 99 cents. And it's just kind of a cool way for you to get your voice heard. And Luke, what's cool about Dispatches from the Front? Tell us, spill your guts.
Well, the cool thing about Dispatches from the Front is we said several episodes ago, I think it was on 25, that it's really hard for us to put all the shout-outs in that everybody wants us to give us. I mean, it really is, because simply we get a lot of requests for those. So you have an opportunity, if you're an organization, if you're a business, if you're an individual player, as you'll see in just a minute, you can.
If you're a non-person entity.
That's right.
We don't discriminate.
That's right. If you're incorporated, you're welcome to us. If you have a dragon for a soul.
There you go. Exactly.
If you have the soul of a dragon, is what I meant to say. If you have the soul of a dragon, you can bid on this. And basically, you set your own limit. So if you want to bid $5 and you don't win, hey, bid next time.
Sure.
But it can go, you know, in any price. It starts off at 99 cents. And we do, right now, we're doing two dispatches an episode. And we will read those. If you have a certain request for us to read your message, you can come up with a message. Usually, it's just a couple sentences long. And, of course, we have to say that we have final word on everything, so it can't be something naughty. But we are doing this, and when does the next Dispatches from the Front come up, Steve?
I'm going to start putting them live right after this episode airs, so you can find it on eBay if you look pretty much immediately. And I'll make a post about it maybe the next day or two. It'll kind of come in the cycle on the blog at some point, just pointing you to it. But basically, if you go to eBay and search WWPD Podcast, you'll find it.
A lot of people have asked about what they can do to help support the show, and we really appreciate everything. And this is just a way you can support the show and get your message out about your tournament that you have coming up. If you want to
talk smack.
Well, I'm pissed because Steve said I couldn't bid on him because I had a really funny one that I was going to shout out to John, and you know, guess what? So
yeah.
You know, if you want to do that, if you want to, I mean, anything, you can wish Lydia and Steve congratulations on their baby.
If
anything
you want to do that, do it up.
So
all right, so we'll come back right into Act Two with our first dispatch from James Jones, and we'll pick up from there. Anything else for Act One, guys?
Nope.
All right, let's go grab a beer.
Peace.
Hey kids, Dirty John here from WWPD. I want to talk to you about a serious illness, WWPD addiction. WWPD addiction affects nearly 50% of the WWPD listening community, but there is hope. To ease your symptoms, we offer a WWPD News from the Front After Hours. After Hours are special episodes of News from the Front recorded after a regular session and available for a nominal price of $1. Each treatment regimen lasts between 30 minutes and 1 hour, offering additional shenanigans both informative and fun to help ease these symptoms of WWPD addiction.
As with all new treatment programs, please talk to your doctor before beginning any After Hours program. Serious side effects may include uncontrollable laughter or increased hobby purchases. Seek help immediately for a painting session lasting more than 4 hours, as serious, permanent relationship issues may result.
See WWPD.net for purchasing details. WWPD After Hours, helping ease your addiction pain.
MG42 Painting Services is proud to be a sponsor of the WWPD Podcast. MG42 Painting Services is your one-stop shop for all your Flames of War hobby painting needs. Our painting prices can't be beat, and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. Our painting prices always include cleanup and assembly, black primer coat, and flat seal finish at no additional cost. Plus, buy your minis directly from us and save twice. First, get a little off the Battlefront price, and second, save the cost and hassle of shipping to us. Visit mg42painting.com for lots of additional information or to request a free, no-obligation price quote. MG42 Painting Services, where you get the best painted miniatures at the best value for your gaming dollar, guaranteed. MG42 Painting Services, mg42painting.com.
And we're back!
All right, so, dispatch from James Jones, and he says, any Flames of War gamers in the London, UK area who fancy a game, please contact James at james.jones@dunelm.org.uk. And that email address again is james.jones@dunelm.org.uk.
Weren't you supposed to say that in a British accent?
Oh, I probably wasn't. I'm not even going to try. Also, Mike Johnson, prepare for your Germans to be crushed. Tsar Stalina!
Awesome.
Speaking of Stalin, we are going to talk about Soviet T-34s right now. A little later, we're going to be talking about Hen and Chick. So before we do that, I thought it would be great to cover the basic workhorse of the Soviet armored divisions, and that would be the noble T-34.
That's right. T-34 is great.
All right. You guys know its basic characteristics off the top of your head?
Nope.
AT-12. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Let's talk about the basic one first.
Not
the standard old. Yeah, all right. Regular T-34.
Front armor 6.
AT-9.
Side armor 4?
Side armor 5.
and it has wide tracks.
It does have wide tracks. It is a fast tank.
And that's it.
It's got a coax MG, hull MG. It's got limited vision unless you upgrade the cupola.
Cupola. The Francis Ford cupola.
That's right. And that pretty much covers it.
How many MGs does the thing got?
Two. It's got a coax, and a hull. Yep. Yeah. And the main gun is, like Luke said, 18.9, firepower 3 up, rate of fire 2, 24-inch range, or is it 32-inch?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. Womp, womp, womp. I actually think it's 32 inches. I think it's
you want to go ahead and put the next show notes? Correction.
You know what? We're going to hedge our bets here. The Soviet T-34 has either 24-inch range or 32-inch range. And we're not wrong, no matter what. That's a good... I'll look that up in a second here. But... it's kind of the basic workhorse of the Soviet Union. In mid-war, they're pretty beastly in mid-war.
They are pretty beastly.
You know, yeah.
I think the wide tracks make it huge.
You know what? The times I've used them against Sean's Finns, I've almost always sent them through the woods.
Oh, yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, 18.9 is, it's not that it's bad, but it's not phenomenal.
It's a killer nothing, especially long range.
See, yeah, I look at that as an assault tank.
Yep, me too.
Oh, yeah.
And mainly because you can throw some tank riders on it.
Exactly.
You know, and it can get nasty.
Yeah, you just swarm them. And so you've got some upgrades. In mid-war, you can upgrade them to the 57mm. And you know what, guys? You guys talk amongst yourselves real quick. I'm going to grab East Front just to make sure we're right.
57mm brings it to an AT-10, right?
Let's see. It should.
Probably should have had this book out.
Eh, whatever. We're podcast.
Yeah, whatever, man.
We're not like... NBC.
All I know is that with the that it's got a top armor of 1. That's all I know about it because I just shell them to death.
That's all that matters to you.
I've never shot one of those straight on.
All right, here we go. So it is in fact 32-inch range. So we were right about that. The 57 is actually AT-11. It's rate of fire 2, AT-11. Its firepower is 4 up. So the firepower goes down a little bit at the cost of anti-tank. And I think they cost something like 10 or 15 points. I almost never see people use them in mid-war, and I'm not sure why. I think they might be a little too expensive for what you get in mid-war.
Right.
And of course, they're not available in late war. But let's just have a look at what they cost in mid-war.
Well, I mean, they are pretty brutal against most of the common German stuff.
Right.
Right then and there. I mean, you can't even get around the side of it. Yeah, I mean,
right. They're, well, the thing that's so detrimental for me is the side armor.
Yeah, because then you can't run your Stuarts around the
Stuarts can't really do, you know, because there's so many of them.
You can't do your Duke.
This is interesting. I didn't realize this. In mid-war, only the standard Red Army unit can upgrade to the T-34 57s. I didn't realize that. So the guards cannot.
Huh.
It's 10 points per tank. You can only upgrade to 3. I guess maybe that's why people don't... I've never seen anyone running 57s. And I guess with only 3 and Hinden Chicks and stuff, I guess people just figure... You know, it maybe dilutes the unit just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the way I've used these guys is crash into a position en masse.
You Absolutely.
Can get 10 of them, slap on some tank riders, and boy.
Why, who cares if 2-bog or whatever?
You don't care at all.
Well, plus, with the 5 side on, man, it makes some great defensive fires.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. It's only a point, but it makes
all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it really does. Okay, so in late war, you've got your standard T-34, which now is... just dirt cheap. I mean, if you go with the regular T-34, it's basically a Stuart in late war. I mean, they're like, what do they push, 40 points, I think? Maybe even closer to 50 points. And, of course, you can upgrade to the 85. Now, the T-34-85, in my opinion, is among the best tanks in all of Flames War. So you trade off wide tracks, you get rid of fast tank, but you gain one additional front armor.
Mm-hmm. So you're now 7, and that makes a huge
You're on
difference.
Par with a Stuart at this point, right?
That's awesome.
You've got AT-12.
Mm-hmm.
So range 32
shooting
inches,
at a Stu, you can win.
You can absolutely, especially when you cost half as much or so.
I mean, exactly. Actually, we get twice as many.
Yeah, I think Fearless Trained ones you can get 10 for $625.
God.
Yeah, they're freaking. Ugh, they're
crazy,
nasty.
Right? And you can put a gadillion of them down on the board too, because that's what everybody does. I mean, who plays 5 of them?
Yeah, yeah. Right? I certainly don't.
Nobody.
I go all in.
Exactly.
So, you know, I guess in late war, they really do have a nice delineation of roles, which is kind of cool. If you get the T-34-85s, they're clearly made for blowing up medium and lighter, like a Tiger. It'll take down Tigers in mass.
That's right.
It has a little bit of trouble with Panthers, though, I will say.
Well,
direct fights with Panthers tend to go south pretty quickly. But considering my unit of 10 costs as much as your 3 Panthers, it's just a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's kind of a trade-off. But the standard T-34 in late war, I rarely see people use, unless it's sort of a the base filler, unit, and then they fill up five of them with the 85s and keep five the standard. Yeah. But I haven't really seen anyone use all-out T-34s in late war. I suspect that's going to change with these new Hen and Chicks rules, though. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the new Hen and Chick rules.
You know what? Why not?
If anybody knows about this, there are some huge changes.
It really is. All right, so let me summarize what is happening in the new Hen and Chicks changes, and this is going to be represented in the new Red Bear book coming out. And it's basically going to apply to the units in Red Bear for now, as far as I understand. Previous books still use the old Hen and Chicks rule.
Right.
Book units made from Red Bear use the new Hen and Chicks. Okay. All right, here is the new Hen and Chicks. No tank can move unless the platoon leader also moves. So you can't do the old shuffle. You can't leave the platoon leader still and move around other tanks. So that's important. And there's been some debate about, well, what if the platoon leader moves in bogs? The general consensus is he moved. That counts as moving. By that point, he gave the order to move. As long as he counts as moving. But that's kind of out for debate.
So say it again. No.
No tank in the company can move unless the platoon leader moves.
Okay. God, what happens if you get out of command? Platoon leader takes off with more than half of the tanks. He leaves four by.
If he moved, the other tanks can move.
Yeah, but in the next turn.
You're saying if he's out of command and this guy's left behind, you better have that battalion commander over there.
Exactly. Okay. So anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So then, this is the kicker. If the platoon leader moves, everyone counts as moving. So that's a little bit circular there. No one can move unless a platoon leader moves, and everyone counts as moving if the platoon leader moves. So basically, the entire company either
moves as one.
Is stationary or it's all moved. Yeah. Okay,
that's, I think that's...
Makes sense, makes sense. Now, there's no more anything about the 6 inches. You know, if you move over six inches, no one can fire. What it is now is if you move, you suffer an additional plus one to hit on the move.
Over and above, if you happen to be ready,
if you happen to be ready to fire one weapon, it's over and above that. Wow. So if you're a standard T-34, you're now getting one shot at plus one to hit. Okay. So
veteran long range moved.
Yep.
Is a six.
Concealed.
Concealed can't hit him.
Right.
But you can now get T-34s around tanks' flanks. Whereas before it was pretty much impossible to get an 85 behind a Tiger or a Panther, it's entirely doable now that they can move 12 inches and shoot.
And that you've got 400 million of them.
Exactly. So, you know what? I think this rule is going to drastically change the tanks, of course, because right now you're either a gun line and you inch up, which I've done. You know, I'll have half the company stay stationary while the other company kind of leapfrogs. You can't really do that slow grinding advance anymore. Now you're either all racing forward, or you're all sitting still and firing away.
Wow.
It's going to be interesting. That's a big change. I'm excited to try it out. I'm excited to play it. Now, the general consensus is that it does work in the Soviets' favor, because before...
So, make them even worse.
Well, is it worse, though?
Because what's happening to the points now?
The points are going up by 10 points per tank, roughly.
And how much are they now?
I couldn't say off the top of my head. Fearless Train T-34-85s, I think you get 10 for $625. But, you know, they get discounts the more you buy. So they have a base price of maybe 60 points, but once you buy a bunch, they go down to 50, 45-ish.
So, wow.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? Do you think that makes them better or worse? And we'll talk about, we might as well talk about it real quick before we fully discuss this. This is the kicker in my mind. Machine guns now suffer no penalties.
That, to me, is everything, because this is
yes.
For those of you who don't know, and I know you're tired of hearing me talk about the damn Stuart.
I am.
But I like to run a Soviet motor company sometimes, because I'll run two units of 10 Stuarts, and they are cheap. They're like 260 points or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I have 20 Stuarts. They roll up, and they assault, because they can move. Basically, have a 20-inch assault range.
Yep.
So,
and now they can shoot.
Before they get there. So they can assault guns.
Think about Soviet Stuarts in a free-for-all, an encounter.
It's over. I don't know, man. I think the Soviet tank horde was pretty invincible before. I don't think this reduces that at all. Yeah. I mean, you may have, with being only a 10-point cost difference, okay, so you've got three or four less tanks on the board. Okay, now you're down to 30.
But think about it like this, too.
And shoot. Oh, my God.
I mean, think about it. I mean, there's so many ways to kill a platoon leader.
True.
And in this situation, if their platoon leader is dead.
Yep. They're hosed.
They're hosed. They can't even sit there and, well, they can't really sit there and move. They can't do anything.
Well, you already couldn't, though. I mean,
yeah, I guess.
I think this does put a little additional weight on the platoon leader, but, I mean, a U.S. unit couldn't move without a platoon leader. They can still blaze away. But, yeah, that battalion commander better be in all places.
I think
it
gives some well, I think a lot of times people didn't want to play the Soviets.
Yeah. And I've actually, I mean, this has been an argument for so long that people have really, you know, kind of posted evidence as to why they think the current Hen and Chicks doesn't make sense and that this one doesn't. I think a lot of people are happy with this in terms of representing history. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it makes for a better game, but I do kind of feel like this more accurately represents
The Russians did overrun the Germans.
Right.
Front,
right.
So
either we're all staying put and blazing away, or we're all moving out. And when we're moving out, we're doing too many things at once. And
you know, a lot of times, too, when I look at it, I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, like you said, you've got some German tanks in a wheat field or something like that.
Right.
You know, so you can't hit them.
Yeah.
You know, with the extra plus one.
Yep.
You can't even hit
right.
them.
Right. And I do think this is now forcing a change in the German tactics a little bit, in that you better damn well never shoot at a T-34 unless you're in concealment. You know what I'm saying? If they're going to be moving at all and you're concealed, there's a good chance they're not going to hit you at all. But they already couldn't, so I'm not sure.
All I know is if I'm going to be playing East Front, I better go buy some Panthers.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Hold
now
on.
They can get around them.
Well, exactly. Are Panthers still going to be the king of the East the king front? Of that tank fight? Because now
well,
I can.
Yeah, maybe I want Tigers and Tiger Ace skills.
Yeah. Maybe so. I don't know. I'm excited to try this out.
I think Panthers are still a good option, but people are going to have to play them differently. They can't expose themselves.
Germans are going to need to be a little smarter.
Yeah,
a little,
well,
but all you got to do is now is deploy. I mean, well, you need to do what you should have been doing before anyway, is deploy the Panthers with infantry or support around them.
Yeah. Around them. So you
I'll
can't
tell you what,
around
you know,
them.
Smoke six of the T-34s.
And then gun them.
Yeah, if you smoke them, even the four that stay put, now they're not going to get their eight shots.
Right.
Either unless they let all of them stay
put.
Move
or not.
Yeah.
Right?
So I think it's probably going to about even out. I think it's probably going to work out. Yeah. Now, I do think one of the more important point to point out is we already said the rate of fire two tanks are going up a little bit in price. Yeah. Rate of fire one tanks are going down in price because they clearly
That's
just became
issues.
Less effective. You know what it is the T-70s.
That's right. Found that out. What's up?
It's the T-70s. Those guys are little bitty tanks with wide tracks.
Cheaper.
They're going to be cheaper. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to order some of those guys
now. That right. Get a whole board of those guys.
Yes,
well,
sir.
How could they be cheaper? How many points are they?
They're already down to like 25-ish points or something.
So those things are like 20 points God. Or 18
And boy, I'll tell you what, when they revisit Eastern Front, the T-60, they're already 16 points apiece.
Oh, my God.
I mean... They're cheaper than infantry at that point.
Exactly.
That's pretty interesting. I really like this. I think it's better, and it's not just because I have Soviets and I do happen to own 30 T-34s.
Sure.
Move it's up 12 inches, shoot.
Machine guns.
Machine gun assault, and I got tank riders too or something crazy.
You know what I was thinking too, in the grand scheme of things, I think this is going to make for a more fun game. Because I'll tell you what, even when I'm playing, remember that tournament when I played the Soviets?
You hated it.
It wasn't that fun.
You won.
But you know what I did? Yeah, but I just ground my way forward. Five tanks stay put and fire, five tanks move up 5.9 inches, and I just grind my way there. Now, if I'm already moving, I might as well send in everybody, you know? So it kind of forces you to play faster, I guess, which I think is always a good
thing.
I'm
buying a whole other set of PAC-40s.
Well, it also sells more tanks.
Maybe, because you get less in a list now.
Sells more for plastic.
But people are going to be much more interested in getting Soviets now. I think a lot of things about the Soviets is always it's a lot of stuff.
I
to
don't
pay.
Know, man. I haven't bought them because I'm kind of stingy on, you know, starting up new armies.
Well, you're afraid of painting infantry, that Soviet infantry.
Oh. Well, yeah, but even
it doesn't get easier.
I haven't done Soviet tanks either, but man, I respect them. Good night. I mean,
I don't think there's any kind of, you know, motives here in terms of sales. I think they're going to sell one way or the other. I really do think this is a decision made.
They're trying to fix it.
I think they're trying to fix it.
It is a little stupid. There's no mechanic. There's not a very similar mechanic.
Yeah, there really
is there, and this is kind of weird.
Yeah, this
left-handed
is,
and
right. So I do. I kind of like it. I'm excited to try it out.
Did you move or didn't you?
Exactly.
That's it. Plus one.
Exactly. As opposed to, did he just move 6.2 inches?
Have you posted anything on Facebook about this?
I have not yet. You know, we need to amp up the level of conversation on our Facebook. We've been
well. That
well,
a lot
they
of
were talking about it
form.
On the Flames of War forums, though. Right?
Yeah,
that where the most people are talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
Good God, that.
I know.
Man, I tell you, I looking at the Flames of War forums sometimes.
Yeah,
people are angry. There's some angry people out
there
about
some
Flames
folks
of War.
Said, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
well, it's all, you know. It's better to go with the beast, you know, right?
Holy Christ!
Yeah.
I mean, there's just some angry people out there.
I know.
And I'm
people. I think people take stuff a little seriously. Although I was a little up in arms about the bar. I think a lot of people were because it impacted a lot of people. I feel like at least Hidden Chicks has been this way for 7 years now, so or however long it is. You know, it's not like it's new and game breaking. In fact, I think the Soviets are plenty competitive, but I do think it's a change overall for the better, if only because it'll make the game faster and a little bit more exciting.
I think one of the things that we don't consider a lot of times when we talk about different games is that on our tables, and most of the tables that we play at a tournament, there's a lot of terrain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a huge factor because in a lot of games I see out there, people are running super heavy tanks.
Yeah.
We don't run into that a whole lot.
No.
Because there's a lot more. Even if you look at the Nationals, I mean, there was a lot of open area in those Nationals.
There was.
You know, and even though there was some bocage and this and that here and there, there was a lot of open area. And it's just it's a whole different world when you start rolling those heavy, heavy tanks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'll definitely be looking forward to getting that book and putting a list together right away to roll out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did hear that IS-2s went down in price considerably. They dropped, you know, 10-15% down.
Yeah, I never see a lot of those. They're super expensive.
They are, but now they're the price of Churchill's now.
Eh.
They're $4.15, I think, for three.
All over that.
Yeah,
no joke.
Yeah, I'm glad I got my. So they were
18 on those things, like 15.
15, but the rate of fire one.
Well, okay.
They don't have Hidden Chicks though, so they were already getting the plus one on the move.
Mm-hmm.
But rate of fire
do they
one.
Still get volley fire though.
They never got volley fire, but they do get heavy breakthrough guns.
Yeah, heavy breakthrough guns. Whoa. Disgusting.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's awesome.
Look at him grinning.
My favorite thing is like we talked about for those mid war lists when we talk about different things is the heavy breakthrough gun and the bunker buster. And
so
volley
beautiful.
Fire. So there were a couple of those lists. I was like, buy two of them. Buy two of the IS.
Yep. The SU-152s.
SU-152s. So if you hit somebody in a building or whatever. Right?
Yep.
You would get, at least on one floor.
Sure.
You would hit everybody in there.
The floor thing, by the way, Ted brought it up. let's talk about it. Maybe next episode, but I want to talk about when you play the city fight rules and when you don't, because it's confusing as hell. Because they really are two different set of rules. Anyways, don't let me cut you off. Back to Bunker Buster.
But let's think about, okay, let's just say for you're playing the game and everybody in the house is hit when you hit.
Yeah, they're in a
okay?
bar.
Yeah.
Right.
So you hit them. You hit one team.
Yep.
You hit everybody in the thing.
Yes.
Heavy breakthrough gun.
Means they're all dead.
And if you missed, if you're within 16 inches, you can volley fire.
You can reroll
misses. So you kill everybody in that building.
You know, the one or two times where my SU-152s have really shown versus Sean's Finns, the time when his infantry was coming out in the open, and you think, well, machine guns are going to be awesome here. But I was hitting him on fours with rerolls. You know, they're only rate of fire one, and I only had a pair of them. But every turn, I was consistently killing two stands. Just no saves, nothing.
That's right.
And that adds up. I mean, that's about what you expect from
a
machine gun.
Well, if you want
some
SU-152s, I got three I'll save.
Nice. But anyways, guys, we want to hear what you have to say. So tell us what you think about these new Hidden Chicks changes. Come over to WWPD.net. We've got the forums there. Click the big forum link and let us know what you think.
That's right. Or tell us on Facebook.
That's right. Plenty of places to communicate with us and the WWPD community. It's
community!
A retirement community!
Well, what are other ways out there that people can help us out without spending a single dime?
There you go.
Mr. Steve.
And that is, you know, we get a lot of emails from fans saying they really like the show. We really appreciate that. So figured I would help you guys out, let you know some easy ways you can help us out without spending a single dime, especially as the holidays approach. The first one is an iTunes review. That really goes a long way for our podcast. You could just kind of, if you use iTunes, you can do it from within the application, you know, give it a star rating that you feel appropriate, which I would say probably about five stars, I think. and you can write a review if you'd like. That way, when people are searching around for any gaming podcasts, we can make sure they come across ours. What other ways can they help us out, Mr. Lukey?
Well, you can obviously tell a friend. You can also tell your game store about us.
Sure. And actually, we've been in touch with a couple game stores that seem pretty cool. They said that we've kind of helped reinvigorate the player base there. So
yeah. And as a matter of fact, if you have a company that you would like to see their products on our show, send them an email.
Sure.
And say, do you guys know WWPD? And ask them, you know, if they want to get in touch with us.
I especially encourage you to do that with, like, Ferrari and Rolls-Royce.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But I only want a Rolls-Royce armored car. I want one of those sweet...
You want a Panhard.
Yeah, exactly.
I want one of those German staff cars from back in the
day. Yeah. Those are pretty sweet. So who else can they tell? What else can people do?
Well, tell Battlefront. Tell Battlefront.
Why not?
Tell Battlefront. And pretty much anybody you want, just do the mass email. Everybody loves a mass email.
That's right. Send it to your family.
Send it to your family.
You know, put us in your Christmas card.
Exactly. And just to let you know, we will have WWPD Christmas cards available this year. Oh, my
God. Yes, in front of a fire.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
They only come in quantities of 5,000, though.
That's right. I want the Dirty John in a manger.
If you buy those
series,
Dirty John will personally. You can hire him to lick every envelope.
That's right. Lick whatever you send him.
Did you ever see that Seinfeld episode where George's fiance died because he bought the cheap envelopes for the wedding invitations, and she was licking each one of the envelopes, and it gave her some kind of toxic poisoning?
I don't remember that. I felt like I had seen pretty much all of them.
It was pretty funny.
But anyways, you know, those are easy ways to help us out, and we really do appreciate it. But of course, send us an email. Let us know. We're really good, I think, about responding as quickly as possible, and we've made some good friends that way. So if you have anything to say, good or bad, let us know.
And again, if you have any products you want us to review, reach out to the company directly and say, hey, have you heard about WWPD? And if you think that would be a good form for them, tell them that you like our show and... You know, you'd like to see their stuff with us, and we'll be happy to review it.
Sure.
God, that Hen and Chicks thing is really massive.
I love it.
I'm sorry to jump back.
I'm excited.
It's big.
I can't wait to try it, you know? I just want to
play a team game together and just run a crap ton of freaking tanks.
Dude, I have a lot. I have a lot.
Well, you know what exactly you're talking about? I'm looking at... Well, see, I need some Soviet super heavy tanks, and I also need to get some super light tanks.
I don't have any of the light ones.
You don't have enough.
Are those the game models, 152s?
Yeah.
You can only get three. Yeah, you can only ever get three. They're awesome. I love them. I use them all the time.
Do you have a commander in there?
No. I've only run my IS-2s once, and they got absolutely crushed. There you go. Ah, man.
I'm going to be out of Bocage, by the way.
Nice, man. Yeah, I saw some people on the forum.
I had a ton of people contact me. Actually, I had to lay down more because I had so many people interested in it.
That's cool.
I know money's tight for everybody. Right now. I have no problem doing some trades and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know, so we got some cool stuff.
I mean, it's great stuff. You know, you've definitely earned people's admiration.
Give me some. I don't have any.
I told you, come over and help me work on them. I'm not
helping you.
I'm going to give you some and make you paint for me. For my painting sleeve.
Nope. Paint some infantry.
You can say that now. You're going to miss another convention. I'm going to pick up a bunch of crap and put you back in indentured servitude.
Exactly. Dude, you got a good deal on all those tanks.
I did get a good deal on those tanks. I got a great deal, too, because you painted... You've painted those. He did the Panzer IVs. He painted for me.
Oh yeah,
fantastic. You know, John. He's got to put everything on him. He's got to magnetize the turrets. Yeah, he's got to decal them, and then he did his camouflage.
What Panzer IVs were these?
Battlefront.
Are these the F2s or H's?
They were already assembled, weren't they? Yeah, I didn't assemble them. I will say this: I will never assemble a Panzer IV.
I picked them up.
Oh my god!
I picked up
garbage.
Yeah,
at a StoreCon, I picked up like $4 primed Panzer IVs.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah,
that's perfect. Yeah, you can't beat that. Nice.
Yeah, he did a great job with them too. So
I didn't know you had many Germans.
I have a lot of Germans now.
Dude, he's got almost as much as I do.
Really?
He's sitting playing.
I don't have
that. That's great. That's great.
I've got the equivalent. I have 45 stands of infantry.
Wow.
Including commanders.
You got the Panzer IVs.
I've got the King Tigers. And.
You got three King Tigers.
Three King Tigers. I got some 88s. And, I got a hodgepodge.
You got like 105s or something?
That was Ted.
Oh, he's got 15s.
Yeah. Ted's stuff looks good, by the way. Shout out to our boy Ted. Ted's a cool dude, man. We had a really good game.
I've been friends with Ted for
I like that guy a lot.
Forever.
I like
Ted.
Yeah,
he's a good cat. He really is.
Invite him back anytime.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. So I'm...
He's in the tournament.
He's in. We did him dirty. That's awesome.
We sure did.
Ted's like, I'm new. I don't want to play any singles ones. And we're like, yeah.
Well, the next singles available. Yeah, he signs
we just
up.
Signed you up, by the way.
I don't even know if we signed him up because I think his name was just on there. Because I think Laura Beck said, are you guys going to be there? Like, yeah, me, him, and Ted.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking right up with you guys. Sean's not coming to this one, man. He doesn't really want to do tournaments right anymore.
Yeah, well. Yeah,
he wants out of the tournament scene, man. He likes playing games, you know, hangout games and scenario games, but he doesn't want to do tournaments anymore.
He's too busy doing headshots.
They're not for him.
Yeah.
Dude's been in a couple cool movies, man.
That's right.
A couple little independent films. Look pretty good, though. Pretty exciting. Well, anything else for
Speaking of the game rodeo.
Yes. Did you know, Tom?
Did you know? John, let us know what we don't know.
What you didn't know. Well, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
And I actually learned this from my shout out to my boy E.T., Eric Turner. That's right. And I used to do airplanes all the time. And so what I usually do, right, when I'm doing airplanes, is I pick up a fistful of dice, however many dice I've got for air phase, and throw the airplane die in there, just roll it all at once.
Yep,
just to
that's
save
what
time.
I do.
However, the actual sequence is you roll your number of airplane dice to see if you get airplanes. Then the next step is your opponent decides to intercept or not. And then if you get planes, you roll for the number of planes.
Gotcha.
Why is that super important?
Because you can decide whether to intercept or not. If you get one plane, you might be like, you only got one plane. I don't
Let
care.
Let it through. Yep.
Or if you get three, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm intercepting this. Right, I'm saving the dice. That.
Makes perfect sense. And of course, if your opponent doesn't have air, you can still chuck all the dice. But that's pretty big difference.
That is
pretty
big
important.
I mean, I've definitely sat there and said, one plane, go ahead.
I have too. One plane? Come on.
Well, I had a guy tell me that in the last tournament we were in, he said that, or the tournament before, the last singles were in at Southern Front, he told me when we rolled for interception that you had to roll at the same time. You roll your... No, I'm like, no.
Definitely not right.
I was like, I'll look it up, but no, I don't. I decide after you roll.
Once he makes it, but not once he decides how many planes he
gets. But I didn't know about the... I thought you rolled the airplane dice.
So did I.
I thought so as well. So yeah, that was a good...
And we're looking at the rule book here. It's a huge book. There's plenty of little one-sentence changes that you know, can throw y'all off.
Yeah.
So that's why our Noob Zone compilation is so important.
Exactly.
I'm sorry about that.
We have another
Noob Zone. What a plug. Shameless.
We have another Noob Zone compilation.
That's right.
We couldn't take the emails anymore. We are going to get the other Noob Zone compilations put together, folks. We are going to do it. It's going to happen soon.
Yep. And we is Steve.
We is Steve.
I like saying we.
Yeah, I know you guys do.
I do.
But truly.
First of all, for the record, I offered to come over here and help you with that.
You did.
Yeah, but you can't.
I knew he wasn't going to say yes. That's why I offered.
No, but thank
you. Your ham hands.
Can I come over here at 11 o'clock at night in your house and hang out with you while you do this?
I mean, I'd probably be down with that.
No, because he's playing Skyrim.
I really am. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty much anything WWPD related needs to wait until I slay Alduin, the evil dragon
of the Noids.
But thank you.
And steal his pizza bag of holding.
What was it the Noid said? He said something. What was it the Noid said?
I don't know. Avoid the Noid. It was avoid the Noid is what it said. It was I remember that.
Yeah. He had some little.
All right, Google man.
Dude, I don't know. Go ahead and get on it. I'm too busy tweeting.
My phone moves too slow.
Anyways, thank you to everyone who did pick up that Noob Zone.
Really
means a lot to us. Glad you guys have enjoyed it. We've got nothing but good feedback on it, which is great. And a lot more people bought it than I ever thought. So thank you guys so much. It's really cool. All right, I think we're pretty much done with this act. I'm ready to toss this act in the garbage.
GT does throw out some good stuff. You know, for all the joking on
Eric,
he knows his stuff.
He does.
Eric's my boy.
Yeah, the guy does.
Yeah.
I know.
The guy knows what's what. Well,
I've played him in three different tournaments.
Sometimes.
I've won once, lost twice. Well, sometimes.
We
Well, that's why the thing is talking about it ahead of time.
Absolutely.
I always think that's our biggest advantage going into any tournament is talking about everything that we have, you know, going on.
Exactly.
And the cool thing about the podcast is we get to talk about talking about it.
We get to talk about talking about it, right.
Next level.
Exactly.
All right, I'm putting an end to this act.
Put it into it. Kill it.
Here we go.
And it's done.
Boom.
Are you tired of your real life, friends, and family?
Can't handle one more chat about the latest road conditions, celeb gossip, or weather?
Want to revel in unrestrained internet nerdery? You need to visit WWPD's new forum, chock full of swell individuals talking about stuff that interests you. Just go to the WWPD website and click the big button that says Forum. Easy enough. All you need is your computer and a winning attitude. We'll see you there.
Winning.
HMGS, the Historical Miniatures Gaming Society, is a nonprofit, charitable, and educational organization with over 2,000 members worldwide. The main purpose of HMGS is to promote historical miniature wargaming as both a legitimate hobby and as an alternative method for the study of military history. Chapters are conveniently located across the United States and accept members from around the world. Chapter membership offers several advantages, including discounted admissions to all HMGS conventions, a periodic newsletter, and advance notice about upcoming events. HMGS holds three historical miniature gaming conventions each year, Cold Wars in March, Fallen in November, and the one and only Historicon in July. This has been called the mother of all wargaming conventions by the Wall Street Journal. At HMGS conventions, you can find hundreds of games to play and see all the latest miniatures at the world's largest hobby shop. For more information, check us out on the web at hmgs.org. It is both informative and fun. Join HMGS online at hmgs.org. We encourage you to join us in promoting our exciting hobby. You'll be glad you did.
And we're back. And Act 3 is sponsored by CGR Painters. Welcome to CGR Painters, a few guys with paintbrushes, really small ones. We offer cool stuff for the common and uncommon soldier. We paint scale miniatures at very reasonable prices for 15mm, 25, 28mm, or 40mm, all in genres from ancients, ACW, Napoleonic, modern, sci-fi, and fantasy. Here at CGR Painters, our lovable zombie, Skaven, and dwarf painters specialize in, but are not limited to, painting Flames of War 15mm World War II miniatures, and also can make terrain for your gaming table. Let us help you with those dusty, unpainted, I don't have time to paint these figs out of your closet and on the gaming table. Visit our website for cool stuff for the uncommon soldier.
All right. And let's see. Do we have a link on there? If not, I'll put a link in there. But I believe it's cgrpainters.com. We'll take a look at that.
Quick, because the interwebs. You've got
to stop doing that.
To the interwebs. You know what? You know what? You can see that it just didn't print.
Oh, really?
That's what happened. See how there's that big gap?
Because you don't have blue.
Oh, I must be out of blue ink. Hold on. Sorry, guys. We're gonna plug it right now. Let's find them. I'm gonna Google CGR Painters.
I gotta check them out. I have not checked them out yet.
Yeah, well, cause, yeah,
the stuff looks good. I checked it out.
You got a bucket of stuff that needs to be painted.
All right, no, CGR Miniatures Painting. It is CGRPainters.com. They got some good looking stuff. You know what? Since we didn't have the website right easily available, let's take a look at this. Let's talk about it right now. This is totally off the rails here. All right, I'm bringing up the gallery. Let's see. What do we want to look at? British, French, Germans, Italians? You call it, Luke.
Brits. Let's do Brits.
Let's look at some Brits.
Oh, those look good.
I've already peeped them earlier. All right, yeah. Here we go.
Yeah, those look good.
Here's some British.
That's pretty strong.
Some Grants.
Oh, and they do the aerials. Like I do them.
They do the nice aerials.
Yeah.
What else we got
make
here?
All the difference.
There you go. Oh, look at that firefly. That's hot. A nice. Look at that. The weathering, man. The mud and stuff on the
really
tracks.
Good. That's really, really good.
Is that a pigment?
I don't know. I don't know much about pigments. I'm excited about trying
it
out.
I got to get a review.
Ooh, look at those Cromwells.
Ooh.
Yeah, those guys are very solid painters. Look, you can see
the airplane. The
airplane P-40 right there. Yeah. All right. These guys are definitely worth checking out.
CGRPainters.com.
If you guys have not
checked, definitely got your money's worth out of that one.
There you go. All right, we try to make it right when we mess up.
So in Act 3, we're doing a unit spotlight.
Yes, we are.
I can tell this is a little biased as we talk about this.
Yeah, Dirty John requested this. It's his jam.
Well, we have not really talked about the Italian, so we're going to be talking about the Italian Bersaglieri.
You know, I've heard people tell me it's pronounced Bersaglieri. It sure looks like Bersaglieri. Like I said, third best.
For not having the Google Translate available.
Well, I speak Italian third best.
We're looking for mid-war, right? The AS-42 organization?
We are looking at the AS-42 organization, which is represented in the North Africa mid-war book. Now, in the early war books, the Hellfire and Back, they do, in fact, have a different organization, which we're not going to talk about. Okay, so, as you all probably know by now, the Italians use the rule 8 million bayonets, whereby you roll to see what your rating is, which is fun, and I always tend to screw that up. Yep. So it always has you kind of sitting on the edge of your seat. So we're going to talk a little bit now about the Bersaglieri. They are rated as elite, and we'll cover what those what those ratings are.
That means they're likely to be pretty good.
They're likely to be off the top of my head, and I'm going to double check it. But I think
off the top of your head. Just
all right. No, off the top of my head.
No, off the top of your head. So we're going to get called.
Never
out.
Let me have any fun. All right. So it's if you buy the full strength platoon, it's 320 points, and that comes with 7 rifle MG teams. 3 HMGs and 3 Elephantinos. So if you guys are unfamiliar with the Elephantino, it's a badass little gun.
It is. We love it.
It's pretty much the biggest man-packed gun you can get in the game. It's a rate of fire 3, AT-7, firepower 4 up, range 24 inches, but it's man-packed. And that's big. That means it can, you know, be gun to ground, it can get in buildings. I mean, pretty darn awesome considering how large that gun really was. And that's sort of an extension of back in the day they had a rule called trench guns, I believe, which more or less became what man-pack guns that we know and love nowadays are. And by the way, if you guys do not know how man-pack guns work, I believe we covered that in a previous Noob Zone. I don't remember which episode. Anyone That's remember off the top of your head?
Ago. Compilation 2.
There you go. All right, so.
You said man-pack.
The elite role is on a 1 or a 2, you're confident trained. On a 3, 4, or 5, you're confident veteran. And on a 6, you're fearless veteran. Now, that's elite in mid-war. Wow. The elite in early war is pretty bad. They're really not elite. I think on a 1, you're reluctant conscript.
Whoa! not playing orcs.
Not terribly elite. But these bursary units are huge. I mean, they're basically, they really exemplify the concept of few men, many weapons.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So in total, you've got, what, 7, 9, 11, 13 stands. And that's if you don't upgrade with the Solitaire anti-tank rifles, which are 15 points apiece. You can add 3 more of those.
And they're solid.
They are pretty solid.
So, and they're not attachments, right?
They're part of the unit.
Which
yep.
is great because they don't mess up your
Exactly. They don't hurt your morale. And so these guys, when you upgrade to the Solitaires, you're actually at this point more gun teams than you are infantry. You've got 9 guns and 7 infantry stands.
Ugh.
So, you know, they can be a little bit unwieldy. And that's fortunate because they get the rule, the legions of Rome and immobile divisions. You always defend with these guys. And I'll tell you what, they are awesome on defense. They can lay down some fire. You upgrade them with the Passaglia bombs, which I like to call pizza bombs, and they now have anti-tank 3.
The pizza bombs.
The pizza bombs. Oh, pizza bomb plus 2 of exploding. Just to revisit the noids.
Oh, man. We are idiots.
Luke needs a Heimlich.
If he needs mouth to mouth, you're giving it to
Dog,
him.
Yeah, no. We're letting him die.
For his mouth to mouth.
Oh my god.
Off the rails.
Where were we?
Oh, we were in after hours.
That would be my edgy. That would be my edgy comment.
There you go. Sure.
Thank you.
So, bottom line, these guys. Basically, I look at the infantry as just sort of able to soak the hits off the guns.
And
the Italians really shine in the shooting step. I mean, those Elephantinos, unpinned, lay down 9 AT-7 shots, which really is nothing to sneeze at.
Not mid-war.
God, no, not
mid-war. Good gracious, go ahead and attack assault me.
Yeah, exactly.
See how that works out for
I've
you.
Popped many a Sherman with these guys.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
See how that works out
and
for
And the
you.
HMGs, I mean, hell, you get to ambush with a unit like this? Oh, my God, you can lay down some fire. Yeah. That's why I'm taking these guys to that mid-war tournament. I don't normally run run defensive lists.
That's
but
because I shamed you into doing it.
You really did.
You said it like 5
John,
tournaments in a row.
I know.
Know you're not.
John shamed me into it. And, you know, you guys can see all the times that I have run these guys. If you check out the Battle Report Index, we do have quite a few games with the Italians featured.
That's exactly right.
They're a lot of fun. And they're a different. If you guys haven't checked them out, you know, find a friend to chip in with you because they are kind of expensive. And try out the Italians. They're a lot of fun.
If you're looking to find a friend to play a game, what you should do is go to wwpd.net and look at our player finder.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
The player finder will tell you where people can, the people in your area are
That's
available
right.
to play.
It's great, dude. There's a lot of people on there right now.
Oh, yeah. And you get to use your crazy airplanes
that look
stupid, but those things are
also our boys in Canada. We have a ton of listeners in Canada.
We really do.
Yeah. And who are really a boot Flames of War.
Oh, boy.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, man.
So, but yeah, I mean, things like that. When you don't know where somebody's, check out our player finder.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I think that's pretty much the unit spotlight. I just wanted to talk about those bursary units.
Those are ridiculous.
They're huge and beastly, and they can really handle all comers. I mean, they can lay down fire on infantry. They can take assaults because they're so huge. They can put out the fire on the tanks. They can take an assault from tanks because they've got pizza bombs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're really just awesome. They're a little pricey, but these guys can solidly hold an objective all on their own. All right, what we got next, Luke?
Well, we are going to be talking about
National rules.
We got one more did you know.
Oh, we got a did you know.
Yeah.
Did you know.
And did you know that combat attaching is by team, while comp grouping is by section?
Yeah, that's big. And I'll tell you when that came up for me. I just learned that Soviet flamethrowers, I thought they had to all be attached to one unit. And you did too, I believe.
I sure did.
But you can actually split them up by team.
Combat attachment. Huge.
That's huge. Really, that's huge.
Right, so you can take like, Brits with PIOPs and HQ. Okay. Wherever you want.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and what else?
Panzerschreck.
HMGs. You could stick just a single HMG in a unit.
Single HMG, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till I figure that out. Oh, well, wait till after hours, which we'll be recording after this.
Right.
Where one of the topics I'm going to bring up is Steve and I, earlier in the week, had the craziest ideas for how to build these just totally stupid platoons
that we
actually figured, wait a minute, this might be good.
Not too bad. yeah.
Which is going to be funny. So listen to After Hours this time and you'll hear some crazy stuff.
Sure.
We have been releasing After Hours about a week after the podcast.
Yes.
But there was some feedback on the forums on WWPD.net about wanting to release this. So when are we going to release this After Hours?
You know, I'm probably going to do the next day. So this guy's going to go up the following day. I'm probably going to post this tomorrow, Sunday, maybe Monday.
Fast,
yeah, I know. I know. Believe me. So, Isabel, I'll probably post this. Yeah, I know. Hurricane Isabel might roll in and be like, nopes.
That's right.
My attention.
That's right.
So, I'm going to try to get this up in the next day or two, and then After Hours should be the very next day. And John's going to take over posting duties for a couple days there.
I have the power.
That's right. John was upgraded to administrator, and I promptly backed up the entire site.
That's right. Where I hand-fisted.
Hey, Steve, I accidentally exported to the garbage.
Right. Yep. I accidentally killed it all. Happened to it all right.
Yeah, dude, you've been stepped up.
I've been sitting there with my search and destroy typing method, trying to get everything done. Like, I type letters a minute,
right? And shout out to our boy Chris Heck too. This guy's really stepped up. He's done the weekly World of Tanks Wednesdays, and he's kept up with that, which we really appreciate. Absolutely. We got a big clan. We got a lot of active guys in that.
Yeah, and I've gotten back into it recently. We got a couple of the guys who we got some of the guys. A lot of the guys are in Flames of War, mm-hmm. and some of the guys aren't. And some of the guys who aren't in Flames of War are getting into it. So we've been talking to them about it. So hopefully they'll be stalking their local game store. Their game soon.
Very cool. But special thanks to Chris. He doesn't
have to run with my new computer.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll have to crank it up.
My old computer had like.
Ooh, I do have my work computer here, which is the only thing I can play on.
It had 13 megs of available memory. So. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, it's just
video. That's nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's all I left. I mean, it's an old computer, but it just upgraded now, so I've got like, I don't know.
Well,
like
now you gotta go get Skyrim, and you can spend all your time.
I could actually run Skyrim.
You could absolutely. I heard the PC version's cool because you can mod it.
Well, I'm thinking about buying an Xbox.
Yeah, I saw a bunch
I'm thinking
of
about that, doing that Xbox 360. With
They're pretty cheap. They have one for $150. You can get used ones now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about buying one for the kids for Christmas.
For the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the age now where you can buy stuff for the kids.
It's really also for you.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, they're also going to get, SU-152s.
Three of them?
Oh, that reminds me. I saw some blog, and if you're a listener, I'm sorry. I can't remember what blog this was off the top of my head now. It's Dono. Oh, yeah, he won a contest earlier, but I don't remember the address to the blog anymore. He posted a video of him playing War Games 101 with his daughter, and she's like 3,
right.
And they did an amphibious assault, and there's like this mansion with like little pig dolls, and then all the like boat toys they have are coming in, and they're just throwing stuff at it, knocking stuff down, and then she gets a little frustrated and just goes and kicks everything down. He said, what did he say, she used the nuclear option or something. Really so funny video. I had to show Lydia. I'll put a link to that on the show notes. I'll have to remember that. Let me grab the pencil.
Yeah, go on, do it.
All right, nerds. Coming up now, we have Noob Zone
without Joe.
And we are going to be talking today, as we said earlier in the show, about German national rules.
That's right.
And the first rule that we are going to talk about with these dirty Germans who always beat my head in is Kampfgruppe. So
Kampfgruppe.
Yeah. Kampfgruppe.
Yep. Kampfgruppe.
Yeah.
All right. So, John, tell us a little bit about Kampfgruppe. You've been using it quite a bit yourself, haven't you?
I have been. I know the rule. I haven't really found a great utility for it, so I haven't done it a whole lot. But what you can do is you take up to half the sections of squads, excluding the HQ section.
Mm-hmm.
And you can combine them into a group led by the 2SC.
Right.
And you have to do it. You can't do it with company assets. You got to have something from combat and weapons platoons.
Right. You can attach company assets sure. after you've made the conf group, but yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's basically what you do. So it allows right. you to say if you got two grenadier platoons and or three grenadier platoons, you could take, say, two stands out of each one,
yep.
put the 2SC in charge, and boom, you get a fourth.
Well, yep. it's important to look at the diagram in the book because that can make a big difference, right?
Yeah, it sure can. Yep.
Exactly.
Because you might have a squad with three stands in it. You might right. have a squad with two stands but in it.
I'll tell you when that really...
Comp group is by section.
Yes, right. comp group is by section. So, and like, that can really matter for tanks.
It can also really matter for pioneers, too, because right. there's three stands generally in a pioneer section, not two like normal grenadiers.
Right, and typically with tanks, you've got the command,
exactly.
and then each squad has two tanks, which means you cannot camp group.
Camp group.
You can't camp group. Let me tell y'all something about a camp group.
You've been watching Swamp People lately?
Anyways, you can't form that battle asset unless you buy five tanks, because
right.
you can't take a section. Well, I guess you could buy four and take just the one, yeah. but if you wanted to take two from it, you would have to buy all five.
That's right.
So you know,
you gotta do it by section.
Makes a big difference. And also, I was looking the other day at some of the lists from Hell's Highway.
Yeah.
You know, the big German yes. crazies. Their sections are entire platoons. It's That's seven right. guys in
yeah,
the
those
section.
Are the confident, trained, or
I
whatever.
Think you can buy them like a variety of ways. You yeah. can buy them as fearless vets or yeah. reluctant vet or something.
It's like the Hitler yeah. youth or whatever they are.
Yeah, they're crazy. Because Tom yeah. wanted to play. He wanted me to use my my Shars as the flame tanks. So we're gonna sometime soon. He and I are gonna play a battle with the his paratroopers versus the like a horde of infantry and flame tanks.
Gosh, that'd be yeah. ridiculous. So,
Mad Dog.
When have you used comp group? Because I haven't had. I haven't used it yet.
Sure.
I haven't figured out when it would be really cool to do it.
When you get seven platoons.
Yeah, when you want to get to an odd an even number, especially if you're in yeah. reserve, you take the bare minimum and form yeah. it. I use it all the time though with my Africa Corps. There's a heavy platoon option, uh-huh. which I think is four machine guns and three mortars. So I will buy that whole section, and then I'll comp group one of those sections. I'll probably stick the mortars with the 2IC or something. And right. that way you can kind of...
Get another platoon.
Exactly. Get a cheap mortar unit uh-huh. and without having to pay the overhead of that entire mortar unit. So
right.
it's just kind of an easy way, because what do you usually do with a 2IC anyways, yeah. you know?
Yeah, for me, the German units seem to be so small already. I don't really yeah. want to take a grenadier platoon.
Yeah.
Make it yet even smaller, but I guess I mean right. if you get the grenadiers that have MGs,
yeah,
you know, and to take a couple guys out to get another unit, I mean, I guess it might, you know,
yeah,
might be able
and,
to do it.
And I think even on East Front, you know, the big yeah. and early war,
yeah,
you've
yeah,
got
yeah,
those
yeah,
big
yeah.
like
larger, much larger,
you know, 11. I think it's a 12 stand
yeah.
old infantry unit, so you can form a pretty big platoon from
yeah.
those. I mean, you could even form a bigger comp group
a
and
really
have it be
big one.
Yeah, if you buy all three units, you know,
yeah.
form a big one. And you
yeah.
can pull in, weapons assets.
Yeah.
I've seen some crazy comp groups, and we were talking about it a little bit, really crazy ones.
Yeah.
But I believe it was Mike McMahon that formed a crazy comp group that he was talking about. That was he played a panzer company. Let me see if I get this right. He pulled in a couple of panzers from his combat units. He also bought the weapons asset, self-propelled anti-air, and pulled one of those in. And then he pulled in one recon infantry stand. And people were like, that's so stupid. But what he would do is he would, you know, leave one or two enemy tanks bailed that pass their motivation, and then that infantry stands there to count. Yeah. And then also, if, you know, he's facing Stuarts, he sticks his infantry stand on a flank in a building or something, and now you can't zip
right.
around
yeah,
him as easily.
Around, yeah.
So he used them really smartly. He had the anti-aircraft just
right.
so it could be attached and brought up front
yeah, yeah.
while he left the other one back behind.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can make some pretty
sure.
smart little conf groups there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Well, the next big rule is the one that
trooper.
Everybody knows. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir.
Storm Trooper Duper.
That's right.
That's right. Super Duper.
Super Duper.
All right. So this it happens during the assault phase.
Right.
And your unit can do it in lieu of assaulting.
Correct.
If your platoon's not eligible to assault for some reason or whatever,
right.
then you can't do it.
Yeah. And
it happens during the assault.
Yeah, during
it happens
the
during
phase,
the assault phase. And people usually think it happens after your assaults, but
it
you
does,
can
it
you can say,
to.
This guy's
right.
going to stormtrooper. Okay, these are going to assault. Now
right.
this guy's going to stormtrooper,
exactly.
you know. So
basically, what you just touched on is you must roll for the platoon and then move it. So
right.
You've seen people in the past where they'll, well, I'm going to roll Stormtrooper for all my guys.
Let me roll for these guys.
You do it right then and there, and you go ahead and move them, and they take that in lieu of assault.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because you can't say, I don't know if I'm going to move these unless they get the Stormtrooper. You've got to, you're all
go
in.
Ahead and do it.
Well, and one of the things you can do with that, too, is if you've got several units lined up on one, and you're only planning on assaulting with one unit, you can move the other guys to kind of pigeonhole them to keep them where they're going to go, or put them in a position where they're just not. It's not good. You know, keep them going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, something like that. And it is a 4-inch additional move for all non-immobile teams, and that's pretty huge.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, Pack 40s, they move 2 inches in the movement step,
then
4 inches in the assault step.
Which, now you still have to make bog checks, right?
You do. Yeah
absolutely. All your normal movement rules apply.
Right, normal movement rules apply, and explicitly, as I talked about earlier, you can dismount from transports in this step.
Can you cut wire, barbed wire?
No,
in your stormtrooper move.
No, definitely cannot. You can't really do any of the super crazy stuff. Basically, you can move as normal. You can dismount.
Yep.
None of the other stuff in lieu of, like, you can't dig in or anything like that.
Yeah, you can't send transports to the rear or anything like that, right?
Absolutely. So, independent teams, this is something that comes up quite a bit. They can either act on their own as an independent team or with a platoon, but it can join the platoon after that platoon has made their roll. And that's pretty big, because...
We've talked about that before. One of the tricks you can use, we see a lot of people out there rolling a stormtrooper for their company commander.
Yep.
Roll for the unit next to it that's within command distance.
Exactly.
If that unit fails and you have no other options, then roll for your commander. If that unit makes its stormtrooper move, then just say, I'm attaching my company commander to this unit and make it. Now, however, one thing that is very important to remember when doing that is that you have to stay within command distance of the independent team, right? Because they're now one platoon till the end of the turn. And they have to stay within command distance.
Yeah.
And if you've got one platoon that's going to stormtrooper, and you got another platoon that's going to do an assault, and you do the stormtrooper first and attach your guy, well, you're attached to the end of the step. You can't rejoin. I wanted to rejoin back over this other and help make a morale check or something like that.
Exactly. And to your point, Luke, you have to stay in command, not only because he's part of the unit, he's now the leader of that
unit.
Remember, your higher commands, they take over as soon as they attach.
That's right.
So, kind of important little things to touch on there. So, I'll talk a little bit here about mission tactics. That is, of course, where if your platoon leader dies, he can jump essentially to another team that's within command distance, another like team in command distance. Right. So, Panzerfaust and Shreks do go along with it.
Right.
And, they've kind of described that as basically they're kind of spread out among the unit. You pick it up or whatever and keep going. But no other team upgrades do. So, for example... If I have a company or a platoon command that I've not upgraded to a Panzerfaust, and I have one of those SS units where I can upgrade the other guys to a Panzerfaust, so if the guy with the Panzerfaust dies, if my platoon leader without the Panzerfaust dies and he takes over the guy with the Panzerfaust, he doesn't get it.
Right.
So basically, he's the original team. Same goes with like Goliath upgrades.
Yeah, you just pull off the old team, put the regular team down.
Exactly.
None of its stats change or anything.
Right, exactly.
If they came with a Panzerfaust and they went to a regular infantry, they still have their Panzerfaust.
Right.
That's right.
So the big thing here, I think, is that they have to be in command range.
That's right.
And that's why it can be very important when you take that platoon leader's casualty.
That's right.
I tend to do it last or something. You got to think ahead, because if he's left in the middle and all the guys around him have died and then he dies, he doesn't just get to jump to anybody. He can die.
He's dead.
So a lot of times people forget the Germans can wind up with leaderless platoon. It's rare,
but
with tanks, if you're staying 8 inches apart, spread out, it can happen. It can happen real damn quick. All right, what else we got here?
We got mounted assault.
Oh, yeah. That's Luke's favorite kind of assault.
Well, let me tell you how it works. First of all, as we actually learned this last year at Fallen, and I. When you stopped stopped Eric's.
Right.
Guys, a mounted assault can be stopped. And that's because if it has a top armor of zero.
Big zero.
Then if you hit it more than five times, it is pinned and the assault does not take place.
But first, let's talk about how it works real quick. So basically, if you have these Panzer Grenadiers in your armored half tracks, then on the first round of an assault, one guy in the half track, one team in the half track, can attack as if it were a tank team. So normally transports can't attack. Normally guys inside the transports can't attack. But what this basically means is you can stay in your trucks, in your half tracks, drive forward, machine gun them up, and then assault while in your half tracks. And when you do that, you basically get one swing for each half track that comes in. But what Luke's talking about here is five shots will still stop them, even though they're armored vehicles. And we've talked
fully armored.
We've talked this to death, so you guys should know by now. If you're top armor zero, five shots in defensive fire will stop you.
So but, M10s, universal carriers, half tracks, exactly. Things like that.
And there's other ways to stop them too. If say, for example, you've got a bazooka team that gets defensive fire, if you blow up a half track that has teams in it. This is, goes for any transports. If you blow up a transport that had teams inside it, the unit is pinned, regardless of how many hits it takes. So if you come in and
even
he's...
Even if none of the guys died.
Even if nobody dies, that team is pinned. So they get sent right back.
Yeah, because all their tasty cakes are blown sky high.
Yep, exactly. Right, exactly. All my tasty cakes.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the first round. One guy in each half track gets to attack. Then you got to weather the counterattack storm, and then your guys can dismount out, right, and fight as normal because they can't fight from the half track past the first turn. Right. All right, makes sense. Everybody get that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm straight.
All right, we're leaving
and
out
so
any of the
half track that sits there and doesn't attack anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just we've got Skirtsen, which is got, one of the
hey, we've got
national rules.
Tell us about that. How's that work out?
Well, basically, if you don't know, Skirtsen, I'll just go ahead and read this, are the thin armor plates that are welded to the sides of some German tanks to protect them from infantry anti-tank
weapons. Welded or glued meticulously with these tiny little pieces that make you hate your life. Okay, sorry.
Not actually sure it says that. Basically, when a tank is protected by Skirtsen, it is... when a tank that is protected by Skirtsen is hit on the side armor, everybody, it's the side armor. So if you're hitting me from the front and I shoot at you, or if I shoot at you in the front, you don't get a Skirtsen save.
Yeah, you got to be hitting the side saddle.
Right. By a weapon with a firepower of 5 or 6 and fails its armor save, roll a special 4+ Skirtsen save.
Right.
If the save is successful, the Skirtsen protects the tank from the side shot. If the save was not successful, the shot penetrated the side armor as normal, which means that now this is when it would definitely come to play. You're hitting me with Stugs, and they have Skirtsen, and you're assaulting me, and I shoot you with a bazooka, and you fail your armor save, and you automatically get a 4+ save. Would you think about that?
Right.
My 10 versus your 3, you wouldn't even get a save,
right,
but you get a 4+ save, which is better
exactly
in most cases than anything else.
Sure.
If you fail that save, then I still have to roll firepower after that.
Yep. Right. So at this point, you've taken the hit after the Skirtsen, then it's like normal. Right.
Yeah, then it's like normal. Right. If you roll a 2, then I have to roll a 5 or 6 to penetrate you.
And again, this only goes for firepower 5+, firepower 6.
So bazookas and stuff.
Piats, bazookas, ATRs here and there if they're ever lucky enough.
Yeah,
if they're ever lucky enough to penetrate sidearm or something. But it doesn't work for tank guns or anything like that.
So if I get assaulted and a Piat hits me in assault, what effect does it have?
Right.
What's that? None.
Right.
None. Yeah, it's an assault. Right.
Right. Exactly.
And then we have armored rocket launchers, recoilless guns, and Stuka Dufus.
Sure. I'm not even going to talk,
talk about.
I've never seen anyone use one of those. It almost makes me want to paint one up just to try it. It is kind of cool. I mean, I'm just going to summarize here because you guys don't necessarily need to know this rule in and out. But basically, you roll a die to range in, and every die you roll takes you down a gun. So you start with 6 tubes. It's a 6 tube rocket launcher, but it's one shot. So if you range in on that first attempt, you hit with all 6. And they're like, but I think they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, it looks like a little truck that's got gas cans all glued to it.
Yeah.
It looks
got
like
it's got these big rockets all along the sides. Yeah. I've seen conversions where
glued refrigerators to
exactly. I've seen where they captured French armor, the Hotchkiss, and they mounted those same rockets along the sides. I'd love to get one of those. Because, I love some captured stuff.
Yeah, you think? Just a little bit.
Yeah, and, besides that, what do we got? We got Tiger Ace.
Tiger Ace skills, and Jesus Christ, the combination to get is to roll a 6, and you get to roll again.
Get ready to fire 3.
You get ready to fire 3 and
get rapid fire, and every shot counts.
Right.
That's the one.
And every shot counts even works for the machine gun.
Bull.
Yeah. Mean stuff. Bleah. Mean stuff.
Ooh, I'll tell you that to work with a machine gun. That's stupid.
Some of the rules say the main gun, but every shot count says you just reroll misses. Go ahead and read it if you'd like.
Oh, I'm reading it. It doesn't say anything.
Bleah.
Yeah, exactly.
It says
whereas some of the other ones say with the main gun.
Tiger tanks this platoon may reroll any failed roll to hit when they shoot. I'm pretty sure they meant that though.
You think? Because go read rapid fire. They say with the main gun.
I'm pretty sure that every shot counts. They think that with the machine gun too. Yeah, I'm feeling that. I mean, it doesn't say that. I'm not going to argue that point, but I don't.
That's how it's played, my man. That's how it's played.
I know. I'm not saying it, but there's plenty of things
that I feel that I'll be vindicated in with all the Tiger Ace skills and stuff.
Yeah, rapid fire. That's a big thing, man. You get some good Tiger Ace skills.
There's nothing better than getting rapid fire and every shot counts. I've gotten it a couple times too.
I'll tell you, that's what did me in with Lauterbach at the last tournament. He had those three tigers that
they had both.
Yes, that's why you got. I told you I couldn't move. I was I can't move because
all my armor.
He's going to hit me. Yeah. I mean, he's going to shoot me six times and kill six. He's going to wipe out a unit a turn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was it was not.
It's terrible, but it's awesome.
Okay, so my only advice, and I'm not a big German player, but my big advice is if you are a German player, know what the capabilities of your units are. If you are not a German player, know what the capabilities of peoples are.
Yeah.
What the Germans can do.
Exactly.
Because this has changed my game quite a bit.
Yep.
And there has been plenty of times. We're going to lead into after hours a little bit because this is one of the things that I'm going to talk about when it comes to knowing your enemies and what people should do and what shouldn't do.
Yep.
Is I seem to get screwed over a ton of times by people who do things with their list that they're not supposed to be able to do. And you told me the other day, said you have got to learn other people's lists.
I mean, yeah. Bottom line is, half the time people don't even mean to. I don't understand.
That guy with the SS, the Vikings,
and I should say most of the time. Yeah, but then whose fault is it if they pull it on you and they don't know and you don't know? Well, they just got away with it, whether they wanted to or not.
And the thing is, they're going to continue to do it.
Yep.
You know, and the more importantly, I mean, it can be a big deal when those
it can be.
I mean, when they had that guy had the Kona Panzers, Panthers.
Yep.
And he told me each one of them moved
like Kona Coffee.
Yeah, just like Kona Coffee.
The Panzer Cannon, basically with
the
that
Panzer unit, Kahlua. Yes.
Yeah. The Panzer Mudslide. All right.
they basically moved and had full rate of fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that was,
but only the platoon leader gets that.
But only the platoon leader gets that, and I did not know that.
What the whole unit gets is reroll skill checks, but that's
well, yeah. There. But he also rolled in that skill, and he got to reroll misses too.
Sure.
So I mean, you had three Panthers firing six shots on the move, and never missing. Basically.
And I'll tell you what, too, the way it's worded, that's what I thought it was at first too. So you can't. The guy clearly wasn't trying. I mean,
I don't think that guy was trying to
cheat
in any
way,
shape, or form.
No. It's worded a little difficult.
But the point of this is you've got to know what your other people. You've got to know what your other players have. You just have to know what the capabilities.
Bottom line, if you're serious about trying to win a tournament, you know you can have a great time. You can play three great games, whether or not you know your opponent's list very well or not. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
All right, well,
the reason I disagree with that is because if somebody's doing something like that and it makes it way overbalanced, you will not have a good time.
Okay, fair enough.
It's not going to be very fun if someone's just smashing through you.
But I'm just trying to be realistic here. People may want to go to a tournament and not buy every single book that comes out. I'm addicted. I buy every new book. I read it. I try to incorporate it. I try to be prepared. You know, I've faced a couple of those new lists out of Casino, and I've made a little cheat sheet of what the differences in the motivations are, because a lot of them get two up to counterattack, two up to unpin, but a lot of people think two up on everything, and that's not true. You know, they get two up for a morale check, but not a motivation check, you know?
That's why it's also important to bring your own army book. But that's something for after hours.
We will talk about that in a little bit.
So what else have we got going on for the rest of this episode? I guess, again, the big news really is Steve-O having a baby.
That's right.
Well, he's not really having the baby.
I'm not. I mean, it's not like Junior.
Yeah. Junior.
She was daddy's little girl.
Junior.
Indiana.
Yes. We named the dog Indiana.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Can't do a Sean Connery accent.
I really can't either.
I really want to expand my impersonations.
I know.
But that's
Sean's good at it. Sean's good at impressions, man.
Yeah.
He's an actor.
He is. He's good
at it. I watched a thing from Sean Connery from the Academy Awards from like 2001 or something like that.
Yeah.
And just listening to him talk. It's like everyone in the audience was afraid to make a sound while he was talking because he's just a powerful person. You know,
so
you don't
awesome.
Fool with that guy. He's James Bond.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm James Bond.
You guys familiar with Hunt for Red October, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Remember in the beginning, they're standing in the conning tower and they're out in the sea, you know, and they're getting ready to dive. And he says, it's cold, Comrade Captain. Sam Neill says that. Yeah. And, you know, he just looks forward and says, cold indeed. Or whatever the cool conversation they have. And the camera slowly pans back and forth. Well, you can find a behind-the-scenes filming of that from a different angle. And after Sam Neill says, it's cold, Comrade Captain, the camera pans off him and he loses it. I mean, he's cracking up and he's holding his face and he's just slapping his leg. And he, you know, Sean Connery then delivers his line. And Sam Neill pulls it together just as the camera's back on him. And he says, and he delivers his line. But it just completely changes it. And that's so funny to see. So
I like Sam Neill too.
I think this is going to be
a conversation for the big AH.
Yeah.
So we got a baby. We're going to put together some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. You've got a battle report to do.
We got a battle report coming up.
We got a tournament.
We got a tournament on December 3rd.
Before the next episode.
Yep. And before you know it, it'll be time for...
Christmas.
Cold Wars.
None of us knew where he was going with that. Me and Luke were both just wide-eyed.
Yeah, we're like,
don't point at me.
What's it going to be, Santa?
Yeah, Cold Wars is
going to be Wars.
Cool.
Cold Wars is going to be fun, and I think...
don't we have Muster?
February.
Let me just give a quick rundown of what's coming up. We got Ron's thing on Martin Luther Day weekend.
Yeah.
We've got the Muster. We've got the thing for the Wakefield School, if we're able to make that one.
I don't think I'm going to be able to.
And then we've got Cold Wars right after that. So within a three-month period... We have four events.
And I've got big reenactment stuff going on, too. I don't know where I'm going to get all this vacation from. But Cold Wars, I'm doing the painting thing, right?
We're doing a painting thing with Heather Blush, yeah. I sent her an email not too long ago.
It's going to be cool. We'll do the similar live show format to Fall In.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little different. It's going to be shorter and more interactive. It's going to have games and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll bring Wings of War. That's such a hit, man.
Yeah, that was
hopefully we'll have our buddies from Harpoon there.
Maybe you can teach. They are going to be there. I've already talked to Chris. He's going to be there.
Good.
Chris Jakes and Frank.
Yes.
I'm calling you Frank forever.
Forever.
I can't even remember what your real name is anymore. So
yeah, so it should be awesome.
It's going to be a good time. We're going to have a real good time for that. So we just have that one road trip.
Hmm.
And that's just an hour away. So that's not a big deal.
That'll be fun though.
Big tits for a solo tournament.
Yeah.
I know. I hope I get to play him.
We all going to ride up in the pimp minivan?
I don't want to play you two. I really don't want to play you two.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't want to play the Italian.
You're allied. He's Axis.
Actually, I think I can actually do all right against you.
Could be.
If you don't pin me.
You're doing
the... I'm going to do the
Indians. Doing the Indians, yeah. Especially if you get a night attack off me. That would be huge. Planes grounded. My long-range fire cut back.
Yeah.
That's your shot.
And that's I looked at doing the motor company like we were talking about, but that's the only thing I can't do the night attack, and I was thinking
Motor infantry.
It doesn't count as mechanized. Right.
But they've got a real funky combat structure. It's like one motor platoon, HMGs, and scouts. Those are your three requirements.
And they only have like two stands per platoon. They're horrible.
They're fine. They're eight stands. Everyone says that. They're eight stands.
They're bigger in... Yeah, they're bigger in...
Yeah. They're not the late war version. Once you upgrade them...
late war version.
They cost a little less, and they're the same... And they're MGs.
The thing that I thought about would be cool is the fact that when you put those Indians, they had the Indians and you could buy...
Gurkhas.
Yeah, but you could buy two infantry and one scout carrier as a requirement.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, I want to carry scout car carriers anyway.
The India pattern, you know, the India pattern carriers are completely different.
You know, I don't
care. Model-wise. Right? I'm just telling you.
Well, but you have the option. You can either run standard carriers or for free replace them with the Indian pattern. They look neat, though. I want to do some Indians, man. I think...
They're a great list. I mean, they're just so fracking expensive. I mean, I think some of those, they were like 225 points for...
Really? They're fearless trained, right?
That was with all the upgrades, though.
Okay.
And they start... Well, see, they start off at 175, and then... To give them the Piat and the light mortar 25 each.
Is this out of Italy or is this?
No, this I can't remember which one it was, but I'm pretty sure it was Tunisia. I was looking at. But I like the idea of having the sticky bombs. Like I said, I just don't think the Matildas will seal the deal in tank assault.
In an assault, they're pretty good. As long as
in a tank battle,
you can't go to the
pounded Eric's.
But I'll tell you, those Churchills. Yeah. Rate of fire 3, AT-10.
Mm-hmm. More firepower.
The grid. The only thing...
Are they HE or no HE?
They are HE.
They are HE.
They have HE.
Churchills have HE.
Yeah, it's just a... But they're only 24-inch range, but who cares?
Especially on a 995 board. How many times have you taken shots over 24 inches?
Never. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's going
to
be
Stooky you to death.
Well, they did say that it was going to be close in. Well, my whole thing is hopefully I get the night assault.
Yep.
You know, I'm hoping to be the
night fight.
Remember, frontline domination is the first turn knight, and then
the
other mission is no retreat, which you can knight fight, and then dust up you couldn't. Dust up, I think you might have the most trouble with if you're up against armor.
Yeah, well,
I don't think anybody's going to bring armor.
What do you think about the planes then? I mean, if one of the, I mean, I'm never going to be able to use them in.
Well, remember, frontline dominations, it's only knight the first turn.
Yeah, but you're on top of each other.
That is true. Not armor.
Ooh, yeah.
The armor's going to get there fast.
And because there's no other stuff, it'll be easy.
Everybody's
going to
be double time.
I don't care, though. I'm still taking those planes. I got to. They look neat.
They do. Yeah,
they look neat.
I'm taking the Stukas, too. I don't care. Because I got the Super.
I just don't know if I have the points for it. I wanted to, especially if I go with the Churchill option.
No, you don't want to take any planes.
Yeah, well, I thought about even just doing. I even thought about doing just sporadic air.
Leave the planes.
The cheapest ones are like 95 points.
Yeah, definitely leave the planes.
That's a Hurricane 2B or something.
Yeah, it's the Kitty Hawk. Yeah.
Kitty Hawk.
It's only like 95 points.
Leave the planes.
I figured I'll just save that.
More like the Shitty Hawk. All right, let's go into after hours. What do you guys say?
Boing.
Darn. Sorry about that, everybody. On that note, any other thoughts?
You need to keep calm and carry on.
I think I really do.
You better say it quick.
All right. Keep calm. Carry on. Thanks for listening to News from the Front, the podcast by gamers for gamers. Please remember that our opinions are ours and do not necessarily represent the views of the companies mentioned within. You can find us literally everywhere on the internet at wwpd.net, YouTube, and Twitter with the username wwpdpodcast, Facebook, MySpace, YourSpace, Friendster, Makeout Club, and of course, the Bacon Enthusiast online community. You can find Luke elsewhere on the web, but he's asked me not to share those links with you. Do remember to visit our website at wwpd.net for a plethora of after-action reports, painting tutorials, and product reviews. Click on Join This Site on the right-hand side to get an RSS feed of new posts so you can stay up to date and impress your friends. We also have a thriving forum so you can come interact with fellow WWPDers with minimal moderation. Feel free to email us at ourfirstname@wwpd.net. That's Stephen with a V, John without an H, and Luke without scruples. Again, thank you for listening.